The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, another special off-season edition. Actually, every Tuesday and Thursday we'll be here from 12 to 2 doing what we do, talking Patriots and everything else out about the NFL. But today we have a special guest joining us right now, Brian Hoyer.
How's it going?
Brian, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks for having me.
And I have to ask you a question. Did you even know that we do this show?
Yeah, Aaron talks about it all the time.
Okay,
so,
right.
Yeah.
Good for Aaron. Yeah. Good for Aaron.
We have an advocate.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's cool.
You know, I would have just lost a lot of money right there. I would have said for sure. I don't know who they are, and I didn't know they had a show.
The bigger question is, did you know the last backup quarterback that was on this show went on to make about $60 million?
Sitting right in that seat.
There you go.
Just saying.
That's
we'll
true.
See what happens.
You know, Brady had to tear an ACL for that.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
I don't know if you're okay with that.
No, not,
but
definitely not. You never
not
want
necessarily
to get hurt,
advocating
so.
Violence.
So, Brian, I know, you know, this is not the official offseason yet for
sure.
The Patriots. What are you up to right now? Why are you here?
Just working out, trying to stay in shape. I mean, for me, I mean, you might want to take a week or two off, but you just got to get back into it. There's always someone that's, you know, preparing somewhere else, and you don't want to be left behind. So for me, obviously, to sign my tenure and get in here and be able to work, use the facilities and things like that, and just stay in shape.
You mentioned signing the tender. Was your mindset this offseason, were you open to maybe there's a chance I could go to another team, or did you really want to be back here? What was your mindset heading into restricted free agency?
My mindset was just listen to what my agent told me to do. You know, that's what you hire him for, and he has your best interest in mind. And so, you know, just waited for him to, you know, give me the go-ahead and sign, and I couldn't be happier to be back in such a great organization. And obviously I've learned a lot the last 3 years, and I'm just going to keep trying to do that this year and, you know, be ready at a moment's notice, and that's my job, and just continue to improve.
Was there any talk through him of taking a visit or
no,
anything
I didn't
like that?
Nothing. I didn't hear anything from him.
Because if you listen to this show,
sure,
your trade value is way up. No, I'm serious. You know, everybody
somewhere between two ones and a two,
right.
we could get for you.
You know, it's amazing how, you know, no disrespect, but the less you do, the more your value goes up, because, you know, it's like an unknown. People know your name.
Sure.
You're a known commodity, come out of a big school and all that,
mm-hmm.
and people know your name, and it's like, you know, they come on here and it's like, no, maybe we could get a one. You know, it's like, you know, I have to say, if we could, you know.
But, you know, I do want to ask you, Brian, in all seriousness, we're sort of exaggerating a little, but there have been a lot of stories written nationally by guys like Mike Lombardi,
mm-hmm.
on NFL.com, NFL Network, and some others that are convinced that you are a starting quarterback in this league and it's a matter of time before you get the chance, and that you do have that value. I mean, how does that make you feel as you sort of prepare and continue to work with Tom?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's something that I don't really follow. I learned in college, you know, the hard way that you can't read the papers or watch TV or SportsCenter. I mean, it'll drive you nuts. So, you know, to hear it from you guys, you know, it's flattering. But for me, you know, I'm just trying to prepare and be ready at a moment's notice. I think, you know, you're just waiting for that opportunity, and you never know when it's going to come. And I couldn't be in a better situation to learn from, obviously, Coach Belichick, now Coach McDaniels, and obviously Tom. So it's just always a learning process, and you're always learning new stuff. You can always get better at certain things. So for me, it's just kind of, you know, keep improving and just, you know, wait for that opportunity.
You mentioned Josh coming back and the change there. Mm-hmm. It's early. Obviously, nothing has really started, but do you have any inkling as to how things might be a little different for you and the quarterbacks and the offense this year with him back?
Not really, because, we, like you said, we haven't started back up. But I think for me personally, it'll be good just to have another coach and another perspective to, you know, tell me what I can work on, what I can get better at. Obviously, Billy was great. At, you know, I don't think I would have, you know, really made the team if it wasn't for him. He really put extra time with me, you know, my rookie year, and he taught me a lot of things. But now you get a different perspective coming in, and it's always good to, you know, pick a new coach's brain and just see what he thinks. You know, there's going to be different opinions on, you know, what you can get better at or what you can work on. So I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Now, before we started the show, we were just kind of talking briefly about the new Nike shirts.
Sure.
I noticed you got a swoosh.
Yeah.
Is that part of the new apparel that they already
No,
gave
this
out?
Is just my own that I happen to work out in today. But
okay.
I'm really excited about it. For me, I'm kind of like a uniform cleat, you know, all that like gear junkie. So I've been trying to check online and stuff and just see what the new stuff is. I saw our jersey in there, and, you know, the material and everything is great. It's going to be really cool to, you know, wear that stuff. And you know, for me, it's just exciting. I'm really into that type of stuff, so it's just exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like the biggest change is the material, from what I've read
right.
from other players.
Comfort
is
level,
tighter,
yeah.
and, you know, from pass rusher's perspective, not able to really pull on it and hold. So
sounds
like that may be the biggest
difference.
Well,
for me, I came from Michigan State, which was a Nike school. So, you know, very early on, you know, when I got to college, you kind of – obviously it's evolved, you know, to the point where it is now, but it was always the top of the line, you know, the lighter material – the breathable mesh, you know, it's just easier to keep you cooler and things like that. So I'm really excited to, you know, see the gear that, you know, for working out and the cleats and all that stuff. It'll be cool.
Draft is coming up for the Patriots. Does that mean anything to you? Do you follow it closely, or is it just another day now that you're, you know, with the team? And,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I think, you know, you follow it a little bit. I'm, you know, first and foremost, I'm a fan of football and a fan of the NFL. And I remember being a kid in Cleveland and just sitting there watching, I mean, waiting for the Browns pick to come up and see who are they going to draft. And it's just exciting. I think it's an exciting part of the league. And, you know, now that you're in it, you kind of, there's other, it's not like I'm sitting there by the TV, but, you know, maybe you flip back and forth and you see what's going on. But, you know, it's just another day, I think, now. But it's exciting to see, you know, it's change. And,
right.
and I think change is always interesting. So,
are you a fan of Cousins? Seems like he's kind of riding your coattails into the NFL.
Well, he did
next Brian
job.
Hoyer.
Yeah, he did a great job, and you know, it couldn't have happened to a better person. He's a great kid, and you know, I think he'll do really well. He's a hard worker, very smart, and great leader, obviously. So, that's something that, you know, you want to follow. You want to see guys that you've played with, how they're going to do, and, you know, where they go, and things like that. And to be honest with you, his class is kind of the last class of guys that I play with at Michigan State.
Right.
So, you know, these guys that are going, you know, coming out this year, after this year, I won't really know anyone, you know, personally. So it'll be interesting to see where those guys go.
Tell us the truth, though. He's not as good as that, right? I mean, as a person. I mean, no one could be that good.
As who?
Kirk.
He's a really good person.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I did get to listen to him at the combine and talk, and he's an engaging personality just to listen to him speak. And I know he had some sort of speech that he gave.
Yeah,
that
I was going to
mention
that.
Rounds on YouTube.
You know, I you know, being an alumni, I saw it, and it just makes you proud to have someone like that representing your alma mater. And, you know, he gave a great speech on, you know, the you know, responsibilities that come with being in a mentor role, you know, playing college football, and obviously, you know, now in the NFL, but just a, you know, really at heart a great guy.
So Tim Tebow's not the only good guy who plays quarterback. There's others.
Evidently, he just doesn't have a microphone
right.
to tell everybody about.
If you, whether it's Kirk or any other quarterback coming into this league, what would be the, if you could only give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
Man, I think just studying. I think, you know, the physical part, you know, will come. If you belong, you know, the physical part is not something you need to worry about. It's really just, you know, getting into that playbook, you know, figuring stuff out, learning how defenses work at this level. That's the biggest part, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if you're here physically, you're here for a reason. I think the mental part is the biggest jump.
Before we let you go, I just have one quick question.
Well, I have a trivia question for him.
Okay, your trivia can go last.
All right.
Because it probably won't be good.
No, it's good.
Is this going to be about running draws out of the empty backfield?
No.
the cliche for all of us, and even post-Super Bowl, all the analysis was the Patriots need a deep threat. That's the one thing that offense needs. Can you explain to us why you feel that way as the quarterback of the offense, or why you don't, and how much can a guy like Brandon Lloyd maybe change that and help that?
Well, I mean, for me, you know, it's just, you know, I let those coaches make those decisions and things like that. And for me, our offense is great, you know, however they want to set it up. You know, obviously we have a great quarterback who makes great decisions, and we have a lot of weapons. So it'll be exciting to get those new guys in here and work with them. And it's always fun to, you know, throw to new guys and see how, you know, they run their routes, or, you know, I mean, when people come from other places, you watch them on TV and you're like, man, those guys look pretty good. And then you get to, you know, work with them firsthand. So it'll be exciting to do that. And however they want to set up the offense, or with a deep threat or whatever, and, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Can I ask you, you know, when Tom
You're
comes to the sideline?
You're stepping on his trivia. He's excited.
You said you wanted to end it with this trivia. Okay. I just wanted to, you know, when you and Tom, you know, during a game, if Tom comes out to the sideline, what do you specifically, you know, do you give him advice or something that you see from the sideline, or when you're looking at the photos?
Does he yell at you?
Yeah, what's the Shut up, Brian, go over there and get my water.
Is that when you place your Uggs order?
Yeah.
No.
What are the conversations like?
It depends, I think. Sometimes, you know, there's a certain thing I might see that I think he really needs to know. Maybe it's something that was on the backside of a play that, you know, he probably didn't see. Or, you know, sometimes I know when to leave him alone. You know, there's definitely times where, you know, it just depends. I mean, sometimes I think he knows what's, you know, going on. There's no need for me to say anything. And, you know, other times, you know, we're looking at the pictures and I might try to point something out that they might have missed. But for me, really, I'm just trying to – I always stand, you know, away from everyone else because I want to – you know, play the game through my mind. So I'm looking at the defense for the most part. So anything that I can give to those guys that I think can help, which, you know, usually they got the bases covered. They don't really need, you know, my input. But if it's something I think that's important and they're not really getting to, I'll try to, you know, give my input. But besides that, I mean, you know, we got guys up in the box. We got guys everywhere watching. And, you know, usually we got all the bases covered.
All right. Before you leave, we have a Patriots pen for you.
Great. Thanks.
Patriots Football Weekly.
These are from the 90s, so the ink might be
They might not
up.
Have any more ink left.
Oh, they're
and
great.
It's got a little hook in the end. I wouldn't climb any mountains with that.
We had some shirts, too, but not the right size.
That's all right.
We have to order more. Anyway, I know you have to scoot. Quick trivia question. Can you name the other Patriots quarterback who came out of your high school?
Out of my high school?
Yeah.
It's not Andrew Luck's dad, is it? No. I know he went to my high school.
No.
He
would have played, I think, late 60s.
He's from Yale.
Yes.
Dowling?
Brian Dowling.
Brian Dowling.
And do you know his other claim to fame?
He's from the that one cartoon.
That's right, Doonesbury. Good, excellent.
I know my history, yeah.
So now you earned your pen. All right. Brian, thank you so much.
No problem.
You know you have to go, you know, anytime, now that you know that we're down here, you know.
Sure.
Stop.
And now you know how lucrative that seat can be.
Yeah. Right.
Worked out pretty well for Matt.
Next time, t-shirt.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
We're going to take a break.
Guys.
Thanks, Brian, and we'll be right back.
All right. Easy.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
right.
They
yes,
do.
But
right.
It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am.
I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we want to thank Brian Hoyer for joining us. I hope he uses that pen wisely.
I actually like those. With a little clip for like training
carabiner
stuff,
yeah.
You can just hang it from you and you never lose your pen. It's always right there.
Yeah, but I don't like the design. It's like fat. It doesn't. It's
like
not,
you. It's short and fat.
It's not ergonomic. Oh, too tall over here. You know? What is it? You big 2 inches taller than me?
2 inches can matter.
Really?
Ask the ladies.
What?
He's taller than you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely taller than him.
Wow.
I don't know.
I look bigger because of my girth.
Shoulders.
Fat shoulders.
My girth.
We learned this morning Fred doesn't wear long sleeve t-shirts because they don't fit his fat shoulders.
I didn't
shoulders.
Say that. See, again, misrepresenting me. I said that if you're going to choose between short and long sleeve t-shirts, you should buy short sleeve.
Long. Now, this is the segment we should have had when Brian was here. So you could really get the essence of our show.
A self-proclaimed apparel and
right.
junkie or whatever. So,
right.
Paul and I think it should be long sleeve.
See, I think that he's going to end up representing more of the current players. Than not. I think the gross percentage
oh, yeah.
is going to be on his side. They like this wild
oh,
stuff.
I think
they like
first
the new,
of all, they
the
like
new
Nike.
Crazy designs.
Well, I like how he said it. You know, coming from a Nike school, you always realized it was the best, top of the line. That's the difference. That
right.
is the biggest difference.
Right.
Nike's the best. Reebok is not.
Right.
Can I
no.
say that now? They're out officially.
But
right.
I okay. but I get that, and
you
I
can,
and
you
I
can
get
do anything you want. Now.
Reebok sucks.
But isn't that talking in terms of quality?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I get that. You know, I get that,
but
the Nike stuff
quality.
Is amazing.
It's also designed.
But the designs to me are crazy. But I do think that Brian is going to be more representative
right.
of today's players. This is what they grew up with. To me, it's just, it's kind of like, you know,
but
wild and garish.
Look,
I don't like
all of them are in are sneakers. And Nike sneakers are better.
Yes.
Apparently,
you know, that's
the Seahawks.
That's what
be
they're
like
judged
Oregon.
By. What?
Yeah, the Seahawks are a little
different. I saw
a
picture of the Seahawks, and they
nobody's going to be to that extreme yet. They might. I mean, team.
But
and
they
I
gotta do it gradually.
If I'm a sucky team, And this opens up revenue to me with new uniform. And I know that's a tough balance because if you suck, no one's buying anything. Never mind the.
Right.
But if you can balance it and create some buzz.
Yeah,
and...
but the thing about the difference between college and pros is
money.
It's who's buying the jerseys. And I know a lot of kids buy the jerseys, but also men do. And I don't think in the NFL they'd want to go so crazy with the design.
But you always have young people coming up the pipeline. There's always going to be the kids who are becoming 16, 17, 18 who now buy their own jerseys. And you have to sell something to them.
They should have the game jersey and the at-home jersey. And then they can get a little bit more creative with the at-home jersey.
Well, but I think the people at home want to wear a game jersey.
That's true. But if it's the official at-home jersey, maybe, you know.
But it's not the official game jersey.
You buy both.
But what you do is, and I still say the home run is, we need to get rid of the throwback or have the throwback as just an extra throwback and have a red Patriots jersey.
I agree with
a
the new
modern
logo.
Day
right.
Red Patriots jersey
with the new logo.
And then as I said to
Matt
Brian,
doesn't agree.
Red on red, get red pants. You can have blue
no,
on
I
red.
Don't like
red
that.
On red.
I don't want
blue
red
on
pants.
Blue. Why?
See, that's what they like. They like the colors and
they like
the different combinations.
The like excitement. Ooh, the first time
because
in red on red.
Andy and I brought up that they had worn blue on blue.
And he liked it.
And he was like, yeah, no, I heard about that.
He
had an excitment in his voice like, this is something that he would want to do.
No offense to you. You're old.
Right. And
this isn't for you or about you.
Absolutely.
But this isn't for you or about you.
It's not for us, Freddie.
I know. This
it's
is for 20-somethings and teenagers.
And wannabe 20-somethings like Andy.
When I watch
young at heart.
When I watch the Oregon games, I like their stuff. I think it's pretty cool. But
I don't know how you can have both of those points of view.
Oh, I like the colors, and I
so
like...
So, in other words, you like it for everybody else, just not for your team.
No, you know, but I like that. I just don't like the same color for pants and shirts. I'm against that.
I like it.
For anyone. Like, even when the Ravens do it, I think it looks like they're wearing tights.
Well, that's because those really look like tights. And part of it is the way they wear them. When they don't wear pads in them and they wear skin-tight black, it looks like tights.
You know, I just don't like
red with pads.
I don't like the solid throughout. I like the combination.
But they usually wear purple shirts, right, and black pants.
I think they have black.
They do have a black, but yeah. I don't think they wear that a lot, do they?
Not a lot, but when they do, I don't like the look of it.
Don't you have a limited number of times you can wear alternate jerseys in the season?
Twice, I believe.
Right.
But that's why
you have like 12 jerseys per team.
Change. I mean, you know, if Nike goes and says we can make you X million if you open up another slot for another jersey or whatever.
Well, the other thing we were talking with Brian before we started the show were the helmets, and you know, Oregon had all those different helmets. They're not actually different helmets. They're a wrap, a vinyl or plastic wrap that they put over the existing helmet, which obviously saves money because these helmets alone, even when you're buying them for a team, they're like over $200 each. So you can't.
How do they get those on without having like bubbles in them?
I don't know.
I always have trouble with stuff like that.
There's a process.
I wonder if there's a hairdryer involved, like heat.
Maybe.
Nope.
But so knowing that, you could do some nice creative things with helmets.
Because and as like he was saying, they have two helmets. They have the white Patriot, and then they have the silver Patriot, current day Patriot, Elvis logo helmet. But if you could do all these different things with just wraps, I would think financially that would open up more opportunities. I'm all for it. Creativity. Grow with it. Just grow. And it doesn't have to be crazy. I think there's a happy medium between, was it Maryland had the really terrible ones last year that were just
that red thing, and then I agree. Maryland might be the worst I've ever seen.
But
that's what I, to me, that's what Oregon is. I think Oregon is just to the extreme.
Yeah, they're a little, but
Boise even, State.
You don't have to change the logo. You can do more with, like I said, a red jersey or now red pants with white jersey. You know, it doesn't have to be crazy stuff. Just a little bit. You know, give you some options.
Right. Well, I think the Patriots should always, you know, stick to their colors, red, white, and blue.
Right.
You know, and I know what's big right now.
Silver has been one of their primary colors of late.
No, and that's
part
okay,
of the problem.
Too. But what's big with the kids right now is neon. Everything is neon. The green neon is really huge with the kids. And I don't know if that's because
the
of
Baylor
Oregon.
Ones? Well, what about Baylor?
They do. They love them.
I mean, they were, what did Darren Revelle was calling them, highlighters, human highlighters.
Yeah, Will got a pair of cleats that are like black and they have like that highlighter green. That's his new cleats for this season. They love it. Fred's right.
So anyway, we're talking about that because today Nike unveiled their new uniforms for the NFL. The Seahawks had the biggest change, which is mostly shoulder and maybe how the numbers.
And I think they tweaked the hawk. Didn't they make it a little meaner?
They might have. Now, I heard that the Panthers were going to have a logo design, too. I haven't seen it yet, though.
I think it's like what the Lions did. They took the existing logo and made it look more, quote-unquote, fierce.
Yeah. I remember seeing it and thinking, as you would say, that's it?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a big to-do today in New York, but not really that big a deal.
No, it was for Nike more than anything else. It was to announce we are now the NFL.
But I know the Patriots jersey, you know, changed slightly. Mostly it's in the fabric and the way it's designed.
For the better, sounds like.
Yeah, there's a slight change in the shoulder, and of course it'll have the Nike swoosh now. And I think you can start pre-ordering that on the Patriots Pro Shop starting April 15th, and then I think they're going to have them in by the 24th or 25th of April.
There's for the draft.
Yeah.
There's a jersey design I have up here on the screen that's a potential jersey.
No, those were
horrific.
Yeah. Those came out about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
When Nike first announced that they were going to take over.
Oh, the
in
whole
2012.
Series of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that was those space. I hope they don't go that way.
They won't.
Because that, to me, that is like
see,
AFL.
I think it's going to end up that way, but not quickly.
Yeah, no,
I think
it'll
be a very gradual thing, and that's the kind of stuff that you're going to see.
Well if it goes gradually, then that means it's the right thing because it means it's what people want. It means it's selling and people like it, and sorry, but you old farts are dying off, and they'll move on to the next generation.
I didn't say anything about what they could and couldn't do.
I think if they all of a sudden, boom, the NFL teams had seven jerseys like Oregon, that would be too much too soon. But if it goes slowly I think the market will bear it out.
I didn't necessarily mean teams would have seven different ones. I mean, they're going to end up getting to stuff as wild as you saw last year in college football.
But
I think
if it happens, it'll be because people want it. I don't think they'll force it down.
I'm not the audience. Not so much about what they're going to change. I wouldn't buy anything. I'm an adult. I'm not going to buy a shirt.
He already
at this
has
point.
His Bledsoe jerseys. Right. I mean, what else is there to buy?
But I mean, I know you're making fun of me, but it's true. I mean, it's passed me by. I mean, the days of me buying, even if it was a shirt that
what about the new
I
material?
The best.
They say it stretches better. It might be good for you. It might be slimming.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, those days are long since passed.
But it can hold you.
But you know, buying another man's shirt so I can wear it around. Yeah, that's not
fashion
not
changes. I mean, if you look back in the 70s in the mod styles, those
loved
are
them.
More outrageous than anything we have today. So it's all
you are insane.
What does mod mean?
What, the bell bottoms and the big wide collars and the wild
you're
colors?
Talking about for uniforms?
No,
or
no,
for
not, clothes. I'm talking about just fashion.
I missed those football uniforms, bell bottoms.
Yeah, no.
But,
I'm talking about
but,
just
but
fashion
Fred,
itself.
When you're in the midst of fashion, you don't think it's outrageous.
Exactly.
It's not outrageous until after the fact. Right. I look now at 1994 and look at some of the sweaters that we used to wear and like the champion sweatshirts and stuff. Remember that stuff? It's ridiculous looking. It looks like bell bottoms of the 70s.
Right.
And the stuff that we're wearing right now, 15 years from now, you're going to look and say, wow, we wore those dress shirts untucked. That was the way that people did it.
Right.
It's going to look silly.
Right.
That's why I never change with fashion.
Yeah, that's why Indy and I still wear structure shirts.
But you never know. You know, 20 years from now, the trend in sports might be just plain and simple again.
It could be.
You know,
okay. Back to tradition,
right? You know, back to Johnny.
I like color. I like the addition of colors. I just don't like when they just sort of have no rhyme or reason. They just throw it on a shirt. That's to me what college football has turned into.
Or my bigger issue is change for the sake of change.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like every year we have to change something, so we'll add a
because
stripe
that was,
here.
Because that was 2012, and that's obvious.
How
we
about
have to
if
have
it
this
just looks good, it looks good.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said for that. When you have a style that you like and you become known, that's a Florida State shirt. That's
remember
what
they
have.
Used to mean something? Like Notre Dame had like the green numbers that they only wore like once every
green,
5 years.
The green
years
shirts
or
they broke out for big games.
Big bowl games or like national title, you know.
Now they wear them three times a year.
Right. And it kills it. There's it's gone.
Now, if people are wondering like when will the Patriots make a more radical change to their jersey? I think there's a rule in the NFL that it might be 3 to 5 years you have to make that request. So
I believe
you can't
at least 3 heard that number.
So, I don't think there'll be any change next year either for the Patriots.
I want red.
You want red.
All I want is red. Red pops.
Well, I like the red, too.
Sunday red, Tiger wins, and Sunday red?
I never liked, not to, I don't want to invade in Eric's territory here, but I didn't like the uniform change from red to blue back in 93, whenever we did it. I didn't really care about the logo itself. If you wanted to change the Pat Patriot to something else, I didn't care about that, but I agree with Andy. I think the red looked better. It does pop.
It does.
Especially nowadays with the TVs. It's amazing how much different it looks on the HD.
Got to get red, Fred.
Silver pants or white pants?
I like the red. I liked white. I like red, white, and blue. I think those are the Patriots' colors.
Yeah. Silver, as I kind of joked, I don't really know when silver, why silver became part of it.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue is Patriots. It's revolutionary.
They
it's
made
the US.
They made that switch, I think it was under Orthwine in 93.
Right.
The year before Robert bought the team. Yep. And Parcells came and Bledsoe came and they
well,
went
the
to those.
Wanted to just start over with this team.
They went to silver pants with the blue shirts and the red numbers. You could barely even see the numbers from the sideline. They immediately changed the color of the numbers the following year.
Silver became one of the in colors. It was that whole phase of black.
Black
you know,
and silver.
Black
yeah.
and it's like everybody wanted to be Raiderized. Because all the gangs and everything, and everybody was, you know, Raiders, even if they weren't good, were the top sellers, and it was like, we got to inject some Raider into every team.
Right.
And I just, you're red, white, and blue. You're the Patriots. Be what you are.
Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. In case you missed it, tuned in late. We had Brian Hoyer on for the first 10 minutes, so you're going to want to catch that
good
on
stuff.
The replay right after this show, or if you download it to your... what do we say now? Your device?
Digital device.
Yeah. I mean, because you used to say your MP3 player. That's no...
Well, now it's...
You can't say that.
Your phone.
You can't really say iPod anymore.
Right.
Because there's no more iPods.
Well, there are, but...
Yeah. Download it to your device.
Your digital device.
Yeah.
Of choice. Yeah, somebody was mad at you. They want their Android app for
For the iPad?
Well, not the iPad.
For the tablet.
Their tablets?
We are going to have one later this year, but... The thing about Google is they just don't know what they're doing right now. They really don't. As far
the biggest company in the world, they don't know what they're doing.
I read an article yesterday that you know Android could be pushing that aside and coming out with a more consistent operating system in you know one device with a closed environment like Apple does. You know, because Google just came out with another new phone called Nexus that. You know, they're trying to rival the iPhone with, and it's just there's just too much, you know, division in the Android market right now for them to really take hold.
You know, I don't speak Spanish.
We'll see what happens.
English, please.
That's part of the problem with the Android-based tablets is there's so many forms of tablet. What are you designed towards? You know,
that's rhetorical, right?
Yeah,
I hope so.
You didn't want an answer there, did you?
No, I don't really.
So far, we've done fashion and we've done technology.
Well, let's. And what do we got for Patriots news?
Nothing.
Welker's out there doing the uniforms, but we're not going to talk about
even
uniforms
though he's not technically a Patriot,
right?
Yeah, nothing new. I think since the last show, the only thing that has happened, I believe, was the Patriots put an official release out about
right. Branch.
I think it was Branch and Fiametta,
right.
Maybe Larson.
I think yeah. Larson and Fiametta, yeah,
yeah.
were on
yeah.
the one.
But, I mean, we certainly have talked about those guys. But in terms of news, I don't think anything has come out
yeah,
additionally.
Yeah, and in a case pretty people are wondering, you know, like Brian Hoyer, guys are in and out. They're doing their individual workouts. I even saw Matt Light yesterday leaving the building. I don't know what he was here for, but he was around. So, you know, guys are in and out. I know Gerard Mayo's been around.
He's always around.
Yeah, he's a... You know, he's what you'd call a gym rat if we had a gym.
Wait, we do have a gym. It's down there.
Well, you know what I mean.
Like not
with,
really.
With the basketball court and all that stuff. Okay. So we should have a basketball court. You know that?
Get me a weight room first.
Well, we have one. You're just not allowed to use it. Well,
now we have two that I'm not allowed to use.
Yeah, I would go with the basketball
with your Gold's
court
gym?
First.
It's right across the street.
It's not as close.
It's across the street.
This is
it's
down
on your way
the
home.
Stairs.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, like work out during work and then come up like all...
Well, I would need a shower.
Well, now you need a shower. How about a hot tub? Could we get
no,
you a
I
hot tub,
I just need
too?
A shower, a locker, I and a...
And a locker now. Down. Now you need a locker. All right. Maybe the trainers can check in with you.
Healthy
like
employees are happy employees.
That's true.
Wow, that went over better than I expected.
That's true.
I think it'd be great.
See how miserable he
would
is?
Would you work
if
in
had terrible
shape?
Would I lift? No. Yeah. But if you had a basketball
Matt,
court
you're
here?
Pretty happy.
Yeah.
I would try to do that every day.
And he'd yeah. tear another freaking Achilles, and he'd be out for 6 weeks.
This is funny because he's fat.
How long was I out with my Achilles?
What's Matt doing? Matt's making hand signals in there? I don't know.
Don't distract the host. He's easily distracted.
Michelle from Stockholm, Sweden writes in.
How come you read that straight?
It's clear that you don't read emails from girls, but then again, you do.
We always read emails from girls, especially if they send photos of themselves.
Right. Quick question, she says. Is Sean Payton's one-year suspension counting as an unaccrued year? If so, where's the monetary fine in that? With you guys, the offseason doesn't seem so off. Keep up the great work.
Paul's going to handle this one.
I don't understand the question.
Well, I think what she's referring to, it's not so much the CBA, but is it an accrued year in his contract? So, in other words, if he had three more years left in his contract with the Saints, would this count as one of those years? So is it truly a lost year and a lost paycheck, or does he add on another year?
Okay.
Now
I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, but it's truly a lost paycheck.
But yeah,
but, either way, but if he's
but does he still
here,
have does he still have 3 years left on his deal? And
yeah,
my guess is no.
Right,
and that might actually hurt him more than it helps him. Like if you're a great coach, you want to get to the end closer because you're not getting hurt. You're not like a player where your career can end. And generally, the price of coaches just keeps going up. So if you're Sean Payton and you're truly you think he runs the show there, so he's in the Belichick area,
he
right?
He says that with such
disdain. No, but he's in the Belichick area of function and resume.
Yeah, I think he is more like Bill
If I have 2 years left at $4 million, well, the closer I get to that, the closer I get to making $6 million or $7 million.
Yeah, but you want to get close to it, but you want
You don't want to get back a paycheck.
A, he's losing a whole year's paycheck. B, right. He certainly isn't as valuable today as he would have been had this not happened.
Right.
So, yes, he's going to get close to it with less money and being able to earn less than he would have been able to earn.
He's going to lose his whatever, $4 million, whatever he makes. But if he comes back and they go 12-4 and win the Super Bowl, he'll get an extension on his contract and this will all be forgotten.
Well, what if they go 12-4 this year?
What do you mean?
Without him.
That's fine.
What are you kidding me?
He's not going to be as valuable.
Then you say, I built that program. You're just running my program.
You can say whatever you want.
But that's why it benefits him to have Parcells in there and not your boy.
I think that's what the email's question is.
No Stones, because if he's smart, he would have taken the gig.
First of all, I don't know why you keep making fun of him, you know, in relation to me.
He's your boy.
I like the guy. I played baseball with him. That's all. I can't vouch for his decision-making process in terms of whether or not he should take the job.
He should.
I did ask an equipment guy that was walking around here a couple of years ago, hey, Pete?
Yeah, that's how close you guys were.
You saw him after that, and you said he did look like him.
He did.
And that guy even said that he gets it a lot. And then, of course, Pete said, really? You think I look like that guy?
Fred has no idea what we're talking
about. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Draft talk is picking up, Fred.
Yes.
The rumors, the where the Patriots are working guys out, who they want, who's sliding. We're getting a lot of the late negatives now. You have, who got the four?
What's that?
Who got the four?
The four?
On the one.
Claiborne? Oh, Morris Claiborne.
Claiborne got the four. Bruce Irvin got arrested. Quentin Copels doesn't want to, you know, do things coaches tell him, doesn't try hard. All that kind of negativity is now starting to. So now maybe these guys.
See any
will
of
slip.
Brian Billick stuff about Claiborne? Yeah. It's like really ripping everybody. You know, the kid. You know who leaked that out there? Probably a team that wants to get him and hope he slips to them. And that happens every year. Lighten up,
Brian. Isn't Dan Marino the poster child of that?
No, it happens every single year.
I walked into Paul's office after watching tape on Irvin yesterday. Said, I like this guy's quickness, and then he got arrested about 2 minutes later.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to do with him?
I wanted to convert him to a safety,
and then run the draw. He's an intriguing prospect.
Yeah,
a pass rush.
He doesn't look
guy.
245, though. He's very thin.
I like his athleticism and his potential.
Yeah, he's
now,
fast.
He's got some baggage. Clearly, he has a temper issue. He broke a sign at Johnny John's. Was that right? Johnny John's?
Yeah, something like that.
Sandwich
yeah.
shop. But, I mean, there's a lot of those guys.
Maybe he asked for no tomatoes and they put tomatoes on.
And damn it.
You know, I would have reacted the same way.
Did you look at Robinson from Texas? Another outside edge guy.
I don't think I've looked at him yet.
On Andy's sheet, he lists him as you put down ILB for him.
Oh, really? No, he's thin. He's another one.
I don't understand what your infatuation with weight has to do with.
Well, if you're going to play stuff. Inside here, you got to be fairly stout.
No,
not everybody
is here. Not here. That's the position that he's going to play.
Yeah, I still say as a middle linebacker, he's
your credibility took some hit when you wanted to move Irvin to safety. Let's be honest.
I was just thinking. I don't think he's 245, but Paul says that's what he weighed in at the combine.
And it doesn't. All the top safeties in this draft, the criticism of them is they can't cover like you need to cover in the NFL.
No.
And you think a defensive end outside linebacker is just going to convert to safety and be able to cover in the slot?
Oh, he's very talented.
Yeah. Did he learn that in prison?
All right.
He can just go play safety. I think we should just make him quarterbacks. I don't
brilliant!
Know.
Brilliant!
You
know,
you can never have too many quarterbacks.
2-way. 7-on-7.
Emailer says, Neil from Canada here, even as a huge Wes Welker fan, I floated the idea around of letting him walk. I was wondering what you guys thought of featuring Edelman in the slot based on his rookie season replacing Wes while he was out. I don't think Edelman is very effective on the outside, but I thought he was a much better inside. If Welker was gone, we could draft Ty Hilton in a later round to help out. All the other receivers that don't make the cut can get in the DeLorean and sign up for the 2006 squad. Looking forward to another year of injured Jags in the secondary, patching the roster week to week. Don't feel bad about the Bills signing Mario Williams. We will sign him for much cheaper when he's 35, an ex-Jet, and has been unproductive for two seasons. With all that said, Mr. Optimistic Neil here. With all that said, I'm always optimistic for the upcoming season. I enjoy your show. Keep up the good work.
Can't be
Doesn't
any
sound more. Like it.
Can't be any more negative than he is right now.
Yeah. Why would you let Wes Welker walk? I mean,
I could understand. You could convince me of an argument that they could trade him.
Right.
But no, there's no scenario that I would let him walk.
Right.
I don't want to trade him either, but I would listen. I would listen.
All right. Lunch is here, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go to the phones.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
the
email.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm not talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with the TIAN is on the phone. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing much. We're just doing the old PFW in progress thing.
Excellent. Nice guy at the beginning there with Hoya. It was a pretty good interview.
Did that sound okay? Because, you know, Paul and I were discussing earlier this week that most player interviews, you know, on radio or even TV, they suck. Let's face it. They really do. No, they do. I mean, so.
No, it sounded good.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah, I thought she had a good back and forth with him. He seemed like a good guest, though. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to more of those.
Good. We'll try.
I'll start off with a non-football question.
Perfect.
You guys have HBO?
Yes.
You watch Game of Thrones?
I've watched some of them.
Do you like them?
I do. Mostly for the boobs, but I haven't really gotten into the plot yet.
It's pretty good. I'd recommend it if you guys haven't gotten into that.
Now, I haven't watched it, but the trailers are really good.
No, when you watch it, you're in, but I just don't really know the story that's going on. But how far in exactly are they?
They're really almost like a quarter of the way through, not even.
And it's season two, right?
Yeah. You really do have to watch the first season to get an idea of the whole background of the thing.
But you can get that on demand.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and if you have HBO, you can get their app and watch them on that. But, yeah, it's really good. I really enjoy it.
Yep.
All right, got that out of the way.
Well, speaking of that, just while we're talking, did anyone see the movie Drive that came out recently with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, that was good.
That was a wild movie.
It was different.
Yeah. It was like really good. Like slow, and then all of a sudden people are getting their heads blown off. It was wild. Anyway. All right, go ahead.
So I should take the kids?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the outside backer from Boise State? I think his last name begins with an M.
Shane McClellan.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. I saw something with Mike Mayock last night.
That's why I asked.
Who was obviously very high on him. I liked him, but I haven't seen the tape yet. I liked, you know, what I read about him, and then, you know, he was at the combine and stuff. He is definitely one of those edge guys to keep an eye on, and he has been able to do some different things, that versatility that we always look for.
On paper, he's a Patriot.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't seen the tape yet. Andy and I planning on watching the front seven guys at some point as soon as we can. But, yeah, I did hear Mayock talk glowingly about him, moved him up to, I think, to number two on his list of the edge guys, ahead of Whitney Mercilus, which I don't agree with. And I definitely don't agree with his theory of who would you rather have, a guy that had three years of production of one guy who came out, you know, with one great year. And to me, if I knew they were both good, I'd take the guy with 1 year because I think there's less wear and tear on the tires in college. But, you know, obviously you want the guy who ends up panning out. That's the key. I don't think it has anything to do with you know, the amount of time he did it in college.
Yeah, the one-year wonder, I think, is what he said as far as...
Right, which I thought was very derogatory, the way he said it. It was almost as if to say, I don't think this guy's that good. It was
a fluke. When he has 1 year, you have to rely on your scouting skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole
and
evaluation.
Your connections.
Right.
And, you know, why the coach tells you, why didn't he play more? Why wasn't he more productive? Why wasn't he doing X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
Now, maybe he just developed. I mean, there's plenty of guys. No more evident is in basketball, college basketball. So-and-so was this big, and he hit a growth spurt. Well, football players hit similar spurts of size, strength, athleticism, whatever, and it can happen, but you need to find out those specifics.
Yep.
Yeah, he just seemed like a, just, you know, long arms, tall, you know, the ideal weight, pretty fast, too. It's like a 4'6", 40.
So. Oh, yeah, on paper, he's a Patriot possibility.
Like you said, yeah. So I hope they do. I really hope they keep at least the two ones. I really do. I really hope they just get two studs there and just, like you guys always say, get them, plug them in from day one and just go and get a nice influx of talent in that front seven because they really do need it. I'd be bummed if they take a tackle or a guard and then trade like they did last year.
They need speed. Would you rather they kept 27 and 31 or trade it up?
That's a good question. It'd have to be for that blue chip outside backer. If they're going to do it, they want to get that blue chip outside backer that's going to be here for the next 5 to 7 years. And I don't know if one of those guys exists.
Is that the only position you would trade up for? An edge player?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think any of the safeties are going to be up that high. And I don't think the corner is going to be up that high. I don't really know the board that well, but are there any blue chip corners or safeties in this draft? Like, top 10 picks?
Well, I don't know about top 10. Barron is the blue chip safety.
Yeah, he's the blue chip safety.
And
yep.
the word on him or Mox, I mean, 12 to 31. He's all over the place. There's like a 20 pick
variance.
Isn't there
a cornerback out of LSU that.
Right, Mr. Four.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
Scored lower than a tree stump on the Wonderlic.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess.
I would rather stay put at 27 and 31 for that reason. I think there aren't really those guys that I would say, well, this guy, this is.
Trent Richardson.
This guy is worth it, you know, at a position that's of great need. I think you can get two good players at 27 and 31. I don't have a whole lot of faith that they're going to stay there, though. And I know they'll make a good trade before I get attacked. They will make a good trade. They won't just give away the first
value
round pick.
Of the trade.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, It'll be a good trade. They'll get a second rounder and probably a first rounder next year, or maybe this year they'll still say, you know what, let's get some multiple late round picks to go with whatever we get next, you know, maybe a first round of next year and then a couple of, you know, a 5 and a 6.
Two fives and a six, baby. That's exciting.
Because I know they'll want to do that. That's what I'm saying. It will be a value-wise, it'll be a good trade.
Yeah.
And I'll be upset.
Value doesn't play.
Wouldn't it be something if they took those, thanks for the call, Christian, if they took their first two picks in the first round, then used their other picks to move up in the second round?
And we're done.
And you're done.
And we go away with potentially three or four starters.
Three guys, right. Right.
I'm all for it.
Because any draft that you come out with three guys that contribute right away is a successful draft. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, if you get three starters out of it, sure.
Yeah.
Especially if they're impact starters, if you get guys that can come in and play next year, which this defense needs. I would say a couple of these, I mean, I know they're counting probably on Dowling being back, and they're counting on Gregory adding something. But I think you have to get a couple defensive impact players, guys that
I never said that
either going to play significant sub snaps or start, or I mean, you need some young legs out there on defense that can run around and make some. They'll make mistakes, sure, but I'd rather see them make mistakes than some jag they signed off the street the week earlier.
Derek from the University of Arizona writes in. He says, First off, hope you all been well, and I'm getting excited for the draft.
Me too.
The draft podcast every year is always one of my favorites, and it's a great listen. Whether it's Andy slamming the table and saying the best team in the AFC East just got better after Miami selects Vontae Davis, or the RC Carr sacking quarterback phone call last season, the draft shows are always entertaining.
Wait, time out. The what?
He says the RC Carr sacking Carr, maybe? RC Carr? I don't know.
English.
There's an R and a C, and then the word
car. You know
car,
I don't speak Spanish.
Remote control car. Phone call. Did we have a phone call with somebody?
From a remote control car? Remote control car sacking quarterback phone call. I don't know.
Quarterback. Remote control.
I was lost at the Vontae Davis thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure I said that specifically about the Dolphins or Vontae Davis.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, did you happen to see that the word out of Pittsburgh is they think they should draft a running back?
Oh, I know. Well, because he's going to be he's coming off the ACL and going to be a free agent, which is perfect. You know what he's going to be? Value. Mendenhall could be ridiculous in New England.
First up, I've heard a lot of Patriots fans talking about trading up for Fletcher Cox. I know Eric really loves Cox. Sorry, couldn't resist. But what is your guy's take? If I was going to trade up, I would rather go after a guy like Courtney Upshaw in the mid-teens or into the early 20s for Mark Barron.
Yeah, I'm not trading up for Cox.
Our show should make Cox bigger. Next, would it really surprise you if the Patriots traded up? It seems like this year New England has been rumored to move up around the top 10 quite a few times. Would you be in favor of trading both first-round picks to target a guy, and who would you want it to be? Or would you rather them stay where they are and just make the selections? Trading back is always a possibility, but if this team can land a few quality players and not just prospects for depth, they could be looking at another Super Bowl run next season, in my opinion.
Let's be honest. They could do nothing and be looking at another Super Bowl run next season. Right. They had the worst defense I've ever seen, and they weren't on a Super Bowl run.
Finally, what is the one free agent still available you think the Patriots will acquire before the season starts? If healthy, I think Louis Castillo could be a solid addition, but that would be a big if.
Sure. How about Jackie Battle? That's Paul and I have been throwing around lately. The veteran running back. Because they have to add to the running backs. You're not going into the season with Woodhead, Vereen, and Ridley as your running backs.
And I did throw that out there to somebody in the organization, to which I got sort
janitor?
Of a...
The janitor?
A sort of a kind of a smirking kind of mock. But the person did say that that was a guy that had sort of been in the mix.
Are you kidding me?
So I wouldn't say it was imminent, but someone that they had thought about. And I would be surprised, based on this conversation that I had, if there wasn't another running back added to that committee, whether it be through the draft or a veteran free agent like Jackie Battle. But I also would love Castillo to agree with the emailer. I think he would be a good addition.
Jeevan writes in, first, I have to say the NFL is disappointing me. I absolutely hate how their website turns into a gossip TMZ-type website when news about a player in their private life comes out. First, there was Brady vacationing in Costa Rica with Wes and his family, and now they had Ryan Leaf's story displayed right on their main page. It's extremely disappointing, and they should leave that to the gossip websites. Ryan Leaf's life has been tough enough, and there's no reason why they should be doing that. I'm sure there are plenty of more examples that I can't think of right now. It's just disappointing. What do you think about that? Right? NFL.com putting that news on its website.
Is it gossip?
There's nothing gossipy about an arrest.
Right.
That's fact.
Right. But he's been long gone from the NFL. Should he be on the NFL website?
Yeah, I think it's league-related news. He was a former number 2 overall pick, considered the greatest bust in NFL history.
Now, I could see the Brady thing if I don't know what he's talking about, but if they had stuff about Brady being on vacation.
Yeah, they did.
Then I don't see where that's news for the NFL.
See,
he's on vacation with Welker.
I'd rather.
Yeah, that's not news to me.
You know, if they can't be perfect, which what is perfect, I'd rather have them lean toward that than being just press release vanilla website. I think they've done a good job over the last year or two getting more analysis, more opinion, just putting out the news when it happens and not being worried about what teams say. I think they've done a really good job at NFL.com.
The NFL isn't just the games. It's the players.
Yeah.
And a factual story about a player is news.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you don't like it or you want it to all be, you know, lollipops and candy canes and great stuff. These guys have concussions. They have suicides. They have drug issues. They're just a section of the population. Anything bad you can think about, there's an NFL player doing it. And it's
right.
News.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I applaud them for not squirming from that news. And
the Ryan Leaf thing, I know everybody hates him because he came off as a douche, and he clearly has a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, he has an addiction.
Well, I think that's the emailer's point, is why are you jumping on this guy? There's probably a lot of ex-players doing things that aren't right, and you know, but we're focusing on this guy.
Well, he was the number 2 overall pick, and he was neck and neck with Peyton. I mean, he's notorious.
Yep.
He's notable. And I just think that the one thing he has probably never gotten, and maybe I think he's becoming more of a sympathetic character. He just has a terrible addiction. And I mean,
yeah,
all these stories about, you know, visiting people and stealing all their pills and just the whole thing. And it's sad when, I mean, that's an illness. He has an illness. It's no different than cancer, right? He just has a different type of illness.
Yeah.
Something wrong with his body.
It's a chemical imbalance.
Right.
G-Man also says, I'm beginning to jump on the Harrison Smith bandwagon.
I'm off.
Getting him in the second round is a Bill type of move. There's no way Bill is going to stay put at 27 and 31. He'll end up trading one of those picks and fall back into the early part of the second round, and hopefully Smith will be available. Since there's no way he will be there 2-16 with the Jets, Eagles, and others in front of us in need of a safety as well, I just hope it works out in our favor. What do you think of Harrison Smith?
He's a second-round pick, right?
Yeah. I think that last part was about Barron.
Oh.
I think you skipped a word or something in there. But Barron is the guy that most people expect is going to get taken, Jets, Eagles, somewhere in there, and could he slip to the Patriots? Harrison Smith, he's so weird because we watched him one thing. I watched him doing a backpedal, and he almost fell down. And then all I heard was Dion glowing about him from the combine. This guy runs like a corner, hips of a corner. And then the more I do research and watch him, he's not a corner. He doesn't look anything like a corner. I'm not sure he's better in coverage than Mark Barron is.
Well,
and Barron's a better player overall.
Is he part of Dion's little program?
You know what? That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I should have looked. You are smart. I need to find out about that. The ridiculousness that is the conflict.
Well, Andy got really mad about this because I think it was last week we did a show. One of the days, and Andy was really glowing about him because of what Dion said. And I think that very day after the show, we watched the rest of the defensive backs. And he had not that he was bad, but he had a sort of an average tape. And
right.
He looked, and then you read about him, and all of the analysis is struggles in coverage.
Right.
Well, Dion is saying exactly the opposite.
Right.
So I think we sort of misled people. Andy was really mad.
Well,
like, that's why I hate when I go out there on
someone else's words. Dion's words and had confidence in them, and he's just wrong. So I'm back on Barron or bust.
Tim
or some guys in the third or fourth round. There's some guys I like there, too.
Tim in Fresno, California says, what would be your picks for the first two round picks, assuming they use them?
I started on Merciless. I'm still kind of feeling like Merciless is a guy I'd like to have, and Barron. If I could get those two guys and then move on to the wide receiver safety position for some depth. I think the depth of the class is wide receiver. You can get that second or third round. And there's some safeties I kind of like in that range. So if I can get my pass rusher and if I can get back, I think that's two starters right there.
Yeah.
Whether it's a sub guy as the pass rusher. And I don't really care that Barron maybe is similar to Chung and he's in the box. I think he's a good football player. And I think Belichick would find a way to have him one of his best 11 guys on the field.
I agree a lot with what Andy said. I think the edge rusher is something they have to look at early. And by early, I mean one of those first four picks. I think there's some rush ends out there. Unfortunately, it's not as deep as it was last year.
When I told them to draft one because, they were available.
Right.
And they didn't.
So I hope that they do. I mean, Merciless is a guy that I sort of attached myself to right away at the combine. I liked him a lot. I loved him and Ingram. I don't think Ingram has any shot of being available, beyond the middle of the first round or beyond 20 anyway. So
certainly
Merciless is a guy.
Steelers, right? Where do they pick?
Short
yeah. pass
well, a lot
rusher.
Of people,
woo! Yeah. Sounds like a Steeler.
And a lot of people are talking about the Jets too for him.
But
the wide receivers, I agree with Andy. Second round, you could probably get a Reuben Randall or someone like that.
Yeah.
I think is a very good football player. That would make sense. The safeties, maybe if you wanted to wait a little bit longer, because there's no real high end safeties after Barron. Maybe you get a kid, the kid out of LSU that Andy and I both liked. Mike Reese wrote about him this week. Brandon
Taylor.
There's
actually a bunch in that group.
Yeah, he's a mid-round, like a fourth or fifth round guy. So maybe you could get him in the fourth round. He might, Andy and I both liked him. And then Todd McShay, I guess, talked about him as possible second round pick. So maybe there's some value there.
I like Taylor. I also like there's a couple guys that are kind of corner free safety types. I think I brought this up last week. The kid out of Alabama. Daquan Menzie, who Saban says could be projected as a free safety in the NFL. They play a similar defense. He played the star and covered the slot for them. And he is a guy that's going to be available fourth round type. There was another kid I liked out of Oklahoma State, I believe. Where did I move along?
While you're reading that, John writes in, this isn't team related, but he has a complaint. I offered to buy lunch for last Thursday and asked who to give my info to, and it was completely ignored.
Douches.
So how about actually yelling
at me so I can take care of lunch Thursday. I'm in Arizona, so a little advance warning would be nice. On another note, where the hell is my PFW Android app instead of just catering to the Apple fanboys and leaving Android users out in the cold?
Well, we already went over that. Fred hates Android.
I don't hate Android.
No, he hates Google.
Google don't know what they're doing. What they're doing.
Besides taking over the world, they don't know what they're doing. And the lunch is Kevin. He was back from vacation, and he screwed it up as usual.
It is what it is.
I mean, I'm pretty sure those are called facts.
Mark writes in, the Patriots have two draft picks in the first round, and in my opinion, need to combine them in any way possible to get the one most talented player. In a scenario where a miracle happens and the Patriots trade up, who is that player? I think it helps the whole depth by having high end at the top. The D-line would be terrible without Vince, and the offense would be atrocious without Brady. Therefore, a great running back or cornerback would more dramatically upgrade than 2 or 10 Jags.
Than Richardson.
A Ty Law type of cornerback in the secondary gets decent instantly. A Corey Dillon runner keeps the horrible D off the field for 40 minutes instead of on by 40 minutes.
Trent Richardson is the pick.
You can't really – I have a problem with saying a Ty Law cornerback. Ty Law's style of play gets you penalties in the NFL now. That's what I don't get, why people are saying get a bump and run kind of guy.
Although a Ty Law guy, he would adapt, don't you think?
I think he would adapt, and he did.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks he was all physical. He also had a knack for drifting in his zones and just being between the ball and the other guy, the receiver. Most of the time, that wasn't his guy that he was covering. He was a great film guy. And I think Asante kind of developed into that, not as good, but that corner that makes their money knowing what the other team's doing and having that knack.
Just make sure you get us lunch, will you?
Yeah, stop screwing it up back
there. Don't chime
in. As for I'm not a big Claiborne guy, and it has nothing to do with his four on the Wonderlic. I don't think he's as good. I wasn't a big Peterson guy. If you remember last year, I thought Peterson would be great as a returner.
I do remember you about
not
Peterson.
As a corner. I think Jenkins, for all his baggage, might be the most talented corner in this draft. But you're not trading up to take him there. You might have the chance to take him at 27 and his four kids and his
like
kicked off Florida.
That would be like a Bengals move.
And his pot dealer.
Not only are you going to take a guy with all of these questionable...
You trade up to get him?
You trade up to get him. That's a Bengals move.
Let me ask you a question about...
How long do I let him go with his mic off? Yeah. You want to turn your mic on?
Let me ask you a question about this guy that got the four on the Wonderlic. If it was found out that he was illiterate, should the school, get in trouble?
Yeah. Because it proves you're just pumping people through.
Right.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Didn't Peterson only score a 9 or a 10 last year?
Probably. I don't think they have the highest academic standards at LSU. I mean, I have plenty of people to pull from over the years. Jamarcus Russell, you ever hear of him?
Or anywhere.
Well, I mean, I think there's places
that are... Beyond the obvious.
BC, Paul. BC does.
Right.
If I had to rank them, my guess is LSU is pretty low on the academic requirements.
But who would you have down there with them?
Florida.
Okay, I agree. Florida State, Alabama, Ohio State. I put them all down there. There's only a handful.
Ohio State.
There's only a handful that I would say Michigan
Alabama,
might be one of the outliers.
Sure,
oh, Alabama.
I'm not sure on. I think they just pay them and maybe say part of your pay is you have to go to class.
You know the Calipari theory?
What?
You know, like supposedly the guy Davis got $200,000 to go to Kentucky?
Nice.
I just think that you're looking at Stanford, Northwestern, Notre Dame. I think Michigan, you know, in a lot of ways is a little bit different than they're a factory, but
Penn State.
They do. I think Penn State, they do tend
they
go to
school.
It's just
'cause you love Bill O'Brien. He's gone. Get off his jock.
Well, I didn't like Joe Paterno. Even before the Sandusky thing, I didn't like Joe Paterno.
Even before he touched you.
Nothing about it.
Let's see. Is that why you don't take showers anymore, Paul?
I'm not the one that wears the same clothes to work every day.
I don't know what that has to do.
Did you tell him the little story when you had a new shirt last week?
I'm clean. You're not.
What was the story?
Nicky wouldn't let him go out in a shirt he had. I come in, and he had like a clearly brand new, bright golf shirt on. And I go, new shirt? He goes, yeah, Nicky wouldn't let me go out. What were you doing? You were taking Connor on a birthday dinner or
with
something?
With his girlfriend.
She was embarrassed of what he was wearing, so she made him get new shirts.
He's all proud of it.
He is. And we're just surprised it took this long. How many times someone in our department, I won't say her name, but she may be involved in the Wilson Hart Power Index, has said, I can't believe Nikki lets him leave the house looking like that.
Well, every time I tell a story about something that Fred wore that day, that's the first thing that Beth says. But Nikki's always so put together. How could she let him leave the house like that?
I managed to, you know, get out without her seeing me.
Does it bother her?
Well, that's true too.
Would.
When he gets here at like when he gets here at 5 a.m., Nikki's right. not seeing
no,
him.
No, to her credit, like one of the first things she did when we got married, she said, "You got to get some suits made," you know, because I really didn't have any. So I had a few, and that was a good thing. I have now three suits that look good and fit me.
Fit?
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, but most literally, you have a pair of jeans that it looks like you changed your oil and then wiped your hands on the jeans.
A lot of times,
like
that actually did happen.
You don't
a couple
change
weeks
your
ago.
Own oil.
No, I had to put a couple quarts in. Literally,
your car's leaking oil.
After a while, it something That's not happened. Good. I don't know. Something happened.
Oh, now I see why you're looking into new cars. That's not good.
You know,
I don't want to be burning oil or leaking oil.
It was down a couple quarts.
How'd you know?
My oil light comes on.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah. But did you just need an oil change?
Well, I just had a tune-up, and they said everything was fine.
Oh. So you got some problems then.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's bad if you're burning two quarts of oil.
Yeah.
Does it smoke when you hit the accelerator?
It's a little black of smoke.
Is there a little puddle under your car at home?
No. Well, I don't know what was going on.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Shouldn't happen.
Oh, just shut up, will you? I got enough problems.
Well, you've already been looking at new cars.
Yeah, but...
Traverse.
Yeah, not happening. Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Travis is in Florida. Hey, Travis.
Hey, gentlemen. What's going on?
We're just talking about Fred's car leaking or burning oil. Not good.
That's exciting.
What do you got?
One question about the offseason and then a couple mid-round draft guys I would want your opinion on.
Bring it.
First off, I know everybody's been complaining about like us picking up Jags and mid guys that aren't going to be impact players. I was wondering what guys, if you were GM, would have you targeted and taken into consideration the their cap number?
Free agent, you mean?
Yes.
So this year's free agent class?
Yeah, because everyone's been talking about, oh, we're picking up Steve Gregory. Well, I mean, who's out there that we can fit into our cap?
Well, you can fit anyone you want into your cap. If you want him, you can go get him. You make decisions and you go get him. They could have got Mario Williams if they wanted him. They could have invested in that.
Well, wasn't he like a $20 million a year?
Not $20 million, but yeah, I don't know what his cap numbers are, but it's big money. But if they
wanted
him, they
would have
had
to get rid of some guys. They would have had to make some changes.
No, they would have signed guys, and then you might have had guys off the street late. Oh, wait, you already had guys off the street late in the year playing anyway. I just think you get who you want. I think Mario Williams would have been a phenomenal addition to this team. You know, their theory is they'd rather waste $6 million on five players each than waste 30 on one. That's their theory. That's what they've done for years now with Tully Bantakane and James Sanders and, you know, Steve Gregory and all these guys
you
want to add
in. And you can't argue against it. It's worked brilliantly. So,
and do you think the Adelius Thomas signing has anything to do with it, where they actually went out and targeted someone? And then
No, I think if they went out and saw next to Adelius Thomas, they would sign him.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's about Bill. And if he thinks that guy is worth the money, they don't want to pay guys what they don't think they're worth. And it's a simple thing for Bill. I think it's his philosophy. When he looks at a guy, you know, like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I think he thinks a lot of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but I don't think he thinks he's a $3 million running back.
I'm with him.
So he might think, but it might be something as close to, you know what, $2 million or 2.5, okay, but he's not a $3 million running back, and I'm not going to give it to him. That's where I think that if that's the case, that's a hypothetical. That's where I think that someone who questions it would be within their rights to say, well, why are we squabbling over $1 million? If the guy's productive and you know he's productive in your system. Mario Williams, that's a different story. Now that's a significant investment.
Tens of millions.
And I don't think it's fair to necessarily criticize the Patriots. That's not what they do. They've never done it, and it's worked very well for them not doing it that way. So
I would argue it would work very well with them doing it that way.
Well, I would too.
Because
it's a different I think that any philosophy you have works when you have a great coach and quarterback.
Fred's pointing at me.
Well, but I think that if the Patriots didn't have Brady, I think Belichick would adapt and he would do things differently if he didn't have a quarterback.
Well, he'd have to,
but
or
I don't
be fired.
But I don't think he'd want to. I think he would have to.
Well, whatever.
But the way Andy's
saying.
I don't think
he's so set in a certain way that no matter who he has for personnel, that's the way he's going to do
but
it.
But I think that's the way he would go about doing it, and then it wouldn't work, and he would say, "Well, I got to be like some of these other teams. I got to pay a little bit more than I want to because I got to get an upgrade in talent."
I think the baseline philosophy is fair that everybody labels him with, and that's value. It's value in draft picks. It's value in free agency. It's value in everything.
But value is relative, and it changes depending.
Right. But the problem I think he has sometimes is he has a value that he sets, not necessarily seeing what market value is for
I agree with
said
that
player.
Sure.
And that's not how it works. Value is set by the market, not by you.
Right.
You can only control.
Well, right. You're going to lose out
if
you're too rigid. Absolutely.
But, I mean, let's be honest. They've spent their money on their own players for the most part. That's one of their other philosophies that is kind of clear. Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, they've paid out hundreds of millions of dollars
to
those guys.
Not to mention Brady, right.
Well, Brady is obvious. Nobody in their right mind would let Brady go. But you could have chosen not to sign Wilfork or Mankins or Mayo. They re-signed them all, right around $50 million for each one of them.
And if you
that's $150 million. If one or two of those is gone, not only do you have Mario Williams, you can have Steven Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, and
not Steven Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, if I could...
go ahead.
Two draft guys.
Oh, Travis, you're still here.
I wanted to talk about...
What do you got?
They're mid-round guys. I'm going to look bypass the Florida State slight about how dumb we are or how dumb our athletes are. But
I wouldn't, not based on this call.
Mike Harris, he played a lot of slot corner at Florida State. He's a big guy. I think he's like 6 feet, 6'1". And the only problem with him is that he didn't get a lot of time on the outside corner spots because of better talent in Greg Reed and Xavier Rhodes. But I think he would be a good fourth, fifth round guy to target. And then Alan Bailey from Miami, a big defensive tackle type who's a good penetrator.
All right. Well, the guys are looking up their sheet.
Harris had nothing on tape.
Yeah, and what I saw from him I didn't love. He didn't look fast to me. And
there was one play they showed three times.
Yeah, he looked slow.
I thought he slowed down to let the – this is so funny. He literally, Fred, had one play on his tape.
Slow.
And they showed it three times. He picked off a jump ball near his own goal line. And he runs down the sideline with a convoy. He's gone. He ends up getting tackled or knocked out of bounds at about the 5. He clearly made a mistake. He kind of slowed up to try to let a guy try to set up a block where I think if he had just kept running, he makes it in. That's all we saw. And Andy decides, he looks slow.
Who's Alan Bailey? I thought he was in last year's draft.
I'm not familiar with Alan Bailey.
I'm not either. You
thinking of Boss Bailey's brother
or
cousin?
I'm definitely
something?
Not.
No.
I thought there was an Alan Bailey in last year's draft. Yeah, the whole line of Bailey's, Boss, Champ. There was another one, Kenny, I think. I'm not familiar with the Bailey kid out of Miami, especially since I thought he was drafted last year. It's awkward.
Nick is in Victoria, Canada.
Yes!
That's awkward.
Lucky Nick.
I just bought an iPad, and for the life of me, I can't figure out how to get the PFW app subscription. That's a problem.
Thank you. I'm getting the nod from the booth. He was last year.
97th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I knew. I think I kind of liked him, by the way. Last year. But
I
don't
think maybe he was thinking about Olivier Vernon, who's a Miami guy.
As a Waffles.
Nick, the iPad app for PFW is called Patriots Football Daily. So
see what it is. It comes daily. Everything we have is instantly updated.
Right. So just go into iTunes and type that in, Patriots Football Daily.
And thank you.
And you will find
for your purchase.
So sorry about that.
I hear we're the second most popular app behind Angry Birds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Could be.
Did I say that on the Alan Bailey last year? Last year's draft.
Last year.
I think he was trying to trick us. These people, they just throw a name out.
He may have been.
And you see that? That trap that is my brain said that guy was in last year's draft.
And you know what? The mistake that a lot of these
lucky
people
that was.
at our level make. You know, I'm not talking about the Mayocks and the Mel Kipers, but guys like us on the radio.
Wait a minute. Are you putting me and you in the same class?
No. They don't admit when they don't know. You know, they just go on.
I have no problem saying that.
Right. It's not a bad thing with 300 people.
But it's easier to say it on this show than on live SportsCenter. Say, I don't know, if you're Mel Kiper.
Yeah, I know what Andy's point is. But
no, that's what I'm saying.
I
Mel Kiper, you can't do that.
Right.
You know,
if that had been a position that I had watched, and I haven't seen the front seven yet. I haven't watched defensive line and linebackers. That's all we have left. That would have been more of a warning sign to me. Like I knew I didn't watch those positions, so I'm not familiar with those guys. I haven't seen them yet.
But I kind of remember liking him last year. And I probably said when the Chiefs drafted him, see, he's a Patriots-type player. Pioli took him. I can hear myself
You probably did because you're always right. Yes. As he nods.
Phil in Austin writes in the past three drafts, there have been 11 players from UConn picked in the draft, including five picks in the first four rounds. That's an average of 3.6 players per year. But I don't think any of these guys have done anything in the NFL. By comparison, in 2011, the average SEC school had fewer players drafted, 38, 11 teams.
But that's not...
My head's starting to hurt.
But that's not apples to apples.
Right.
Sounded like math to me.
You're comparing the whole SEC to UConn.
Right. Now I see some mock drafts having the Patriots picking some defensive tackle from UConn, maybe even in the first. He may turn out to be a decent player, but he would be the first in a while. Why are these UConn guys being consistently overdrafted? Is this the ESPN effect?
What does that mean?
Well, they're from Bristol.
ESPN's
maybe they...
Connecticut. No.
No. What?
I mean, who was overdrafted?
Darius Butler.
But was he overdrafted? I mean...
Well, he sucks, so yeah.
Okay, so that's the sole criteria?
He should not... Tom Brady was underdrafted, and Darius Butler was overdrafted.
Okay.
He was worse than his draft position.
Okay.
He was billed as a first-round athlete who on day
who was
one,
the emailer?
I remember saying, not a good athlete.
I'm with the emailer. He sold me.
And they had a couple offensive linemen go.
Oh, no, I know that there's been a lot of UConn guys in...
Anthony Sherman, the fullback. I liked him.
I think it's funny.
I like all fullbacks.
That they have had that many guys drafted because they haven't been that good. You know? I mean, it's... The Big East is very down, and yet they only won it once.
Oh, and they barely won it.
Right.
They, like, backed in with my boy.
Todman running the ball every play.
And not only that, but they were, like, had their fingers crossed going down the wire to try to win it.
Well, they had a big win at South Florida
to win
it.
But they were, like, it was like a three-way tie. There was like, all these ramifications if so-and-so beats so. Yeah, it was not a impressive. He's not a very good coach. He's going to get run out of Maryland soon. Randy Edsel.
I knew who you were talking about.
Scott has a quick question on uniforms. It's a good question, actually. He says, can Coach Bill Belichick still wear the Reebok hoodie he made so famous?
No.
Will Nike make something comparable for him? I know a stupid offseason question.
Yes, they will make something comparable. No, he cannot
wear
Reebok.
Nobody can wear anything.
Well, you know what?
What?
Nobody can wear Reebok, but I'm not going to guarantee he won't walk on the field with an old Reebok. I wouldn't bet against him.
With some tape over the logo?
Right, seriously, if one person were going to do it...
No, I think I said that, Andy.
It would be him. No, in all likelihood, they'll make some sort of a gray hoodie that he'll rip the sleeves off and deface a little bit and put on. Bummify.
Brooklyn Matt says, speaking of change, there was a four-year period when the Patriots had four different home and away looks, one different set per year, the 1992-95 era. If you need clarification on that, Patriots historian Paul will elaborate. And Andy, you're not knowing what the mod fashion look is doesn't need clarification because everyone except you already knows that what it looks like. It's yet another common thing from before 1990 that you're oblivious of.
Oh, shut up and jump a turnstile, you douche.
They did. They had the old red in 92, then the blue with the red numbers in 93, the blue with the white numbers in 94, and then they went in 95 with the Elvis on the shoulder as opposed to the sleeve in 95, I guess.
Yep.
So 92 to 95, he's right, was four different uniforms.
You and Matt aligned.
Kenny,
nothing aligning about it.
Kenny from
fact.
Kenny from Virginia, love the idea of having players in the show. I hope that won't be the last. Like, if you weren't here earlier, we had Brian Hoyer in the first segment of the show.
Will not be the last. Matt is saying he's going to get it done and get us more players. Who's up next? Give me a tantalizing taste of possibility.
I haven't the slightest clue.
Now, Matt,
he's not the best in the business for no reason.
Where did you succeed where others have in the past failed?
Others being Kevin.
No. Well, even before that.
I reached out and said, hey, I know that.
Reached out where?
To the PR department.
Oh, okay.
And said, I know that Dion Branch was on WEEI the other day. Is there a chance we could get a player that's in the area? And Brian Hoyer had a community appearance with the Harlem Globetrotters over the weekend.
Played pig.
They were able to reach out to him, and now I will continue to reach out
about
to
Mayo.
PR
Next up,
and
Mayo.
Other players.
Good.
Mayo's always here.
Good, Matt.
We can talk about his big plays. It'll be a short interview.
Kenny says he was curious about a certain cornerback in the draft. Oh, no, not in the draft. I believe he played for the – oh, yeah. I believe he played for the Gators and is said to have number one corner potential, but due to the off-field issues –
his stock might drop. Any idea who I'm talking about? Because I can't think of his name for the life of me.
Janoris Jenkins.
Is that it?
He went to, is it North Alabama? He got kicked off Florida. He has four kids. He clearly likes the weed. He likes to partake.
Want to get high?
And he is, I think, the most talented cornerback in this draft.
Is that
in
right?
terms of pure physical coverability.
And many of the top-rated wide receivers agree with Andy. They called him the toughest cornerback they went against.
And this may be a benefit that we have the Florida pipeline with Muschamp, Charlie Weiss, and Urban Meyer. Maybe Bill can get... You know, he's got a couple issues,
right.
but he's not a bad person.
And for those of you who say, oh, the Patriots would never draft a guy
Let's
like
that.
No, that's not true. They would.
And, I mean, weed and having kids in and of themselves aren't terrible, right? I think there's a lot of guys that smoke weed on this team. I think some of them are considered Patriots ever.
Why don't you give me some of the examples?
Well, I'll give you a name. It's a matter of public record. Kevin Falk is one of the greatest Patriots ever. He went to that concert and had that little incident with weed.
It was his cousins.
Right. But I'm just saying.
He got suspended for it.
I think there are people in you know, Fortune 500 companies that probably run the company that smoke weed. I don't know that they're bad people.
Directors of, interactive media.
The CEO of High Times. Right.
No, I mean more than that. Well, there's another example of a player who had a great season. I guarantee he smoked weed at some point during that season.
Who?
Randy Moss.
Also, Williams, the running back, always did. Ricky Williams.
Oh, I was sticking to Patriots, yeah. But yes. But, and then having kids isn't necessarily, you know, Paul and I like to joke. Sometimes having kids means you're mature and you've settled down and have a family. Depends who you are, how you
right.
did it in other ways, but...
Four kids in college, though, that's a little reckless.
It is a little, but it doesn't mean you're, you know, the worst person on the planet and you're going to be a problem forever.
But your first thing you do is question his judgment.
Right, and then the second thing you do is call Urban Meyer, Will Muschamp, and Charlie Weiss and do as much
as possible. And Urban Meyer says, I couldn't touch him, I had to throw him off the team, but he'd be fine for you, Bill.
You do your research,
of course,
talent.
Right.
All I'm saying is he has done nothing... You know,
thank God Spikes and Hernandez are coming around because we really got nothing out of that Florida connection before that.
Well, this could pay off. If he tells you, go get him, Bill. He's a fine kid, a little immaturity. His mom will take care of him or something. You get him and you have a great corner because I think he can play.
And then Kenny says, finally, I now know where all the Jags for reporting are hired, the NFL Network. Then he has some really mean things to say about Ian.
So read it.
No,
why are you not reading
read it?
Why are you not
reading it if it were Eric? Oh, I see how it is.
I think you get the idea.
I don't.
I do.
I don't get it. I want to know what he
said. He thinks he's a Jag.
What else did he say?
Well, he called him some names that I can't say.
Rhymes with?
We're not going to do it.
And all that.
See, that's got to hurt Eric because you would read it if it were about Eric.
No, I wouldn't. There's a lot of things I don't read. Trust me. Zach says, hey, man of PFW, I think Bill would make a really great baseball manager, finding value and versatility, and just think of the excitement that would ensue on draft day.
Plus, he has that stone face when you sit in the dugout, sit there, the whole droopy stone face the whole time for 9 innings. Did you read those quotes from Rick Pitino today about Bill?
No.
About how he always laughs watching the press conferences because he just sits there and says nothing and just can be stone-faced. And then you meet him, and he's this engaging, outgoing guy with great confidence and personality and stuff.
You're surprised that he had great confidence? Wow.
Well,
Rick.
Heesh. I think he thought he was probably not as outspoken as he was.
Nick from Tampa writes in, I had an idea of how to move up in the first round and help out the whole team, not just the defense. Everyone can agree that the Patriots need help on the defensive side of the ball, and the way Trent Dilfer said Brandon Lloyd will help out the defense by helping scoring points, I say trade up for Trent Richardson. What better way to help out the defense? Run the ball and keep the D on the sideline. Richardson can do this for our offense. He'll make everyone in the passing game better because of keeping defenses honest. And he also has a trade. Call up Miami and offer Mallett for the number 8 overall pick this year. The thinking is they want Tannehill. Wouldn't you rather have Mallett over Tannehill mainly because of being on an NFL roster for a year behind the king, Tom Brady? And after the trade, the Pats will hold the 8th, 27th, and 31st, plus 2 second-rounders, trade the 8th pick and whatever else to get to the 4th, to the Browns, or 5, to the Bucks, and pick up Richardson. Most likely, he'll still have the 31st or 27th left, and can use that on the top edge guy available, or Mark Barron, or Janoris Jenkins.
So why don't we trade
Nick's got it all figured out
to number 8? Because I mean, he's been on a roster for 3 years.
Well, you guys always make fun of me for not catching the sarcasm meter. So, was there any on that one?
There was sarcasm in that.
Oh, were we really thinking that we could trade Mallett for the eighth pick?
I don't know. I think that was fairly on the level.
I think we've already spent too much time on that email.
I did see Trent Dilfer. He was hosting.
I saw the thing about
Piper
Brandon Lloyd
and somebody else, Mortensen. They're doing their like a round, and I thought he was, you know, borderline.
Well,
ridiculous.
Honestly, though, I mean, it's other than the first two, it's a fairly thin quarterback class, would you say? So Tannehill is rated up there.
He's going to be fine by all accounts.
But if he was where Mallett was, who would you say is better, Mallett or Tannehill? That's, I think, the point he's making.
But some people thought
Mallett
was...
But that's not the value of the player.
That he was physically the most gifted passer in last year's draft. A lot of people loved Mallett.
Right.
Okay. He was a third-round pick.
Another guy with weed problems, wasn't he, in college?
Well, there were off-field issues that clouded him on various levels. But just pure physical arm strength and being in a, you know, semi-pro-style offense, a lot of people thought he was the best prospect as a passer. Paul's right. There's value involved. You know, there's different things. I'm not a Tannehill guy.
If you don't think
Mallett
Tannehill
was in this draft, would he have been drafted higher than a third?
Probably not.
No.
You don't think so?
No, because I think
he would have been
plagued him.
Yes, if he didn't have the issues, he would have been the third quarterback last year, or maybe even higher.
I mean, Christian Ponder. I think he's more physically talented than Christian Ponder, but
absolutely is.
You don't have the issues, so Tannehill is this year's Ponder.
Okay, forget about the issues now. Now maybe he's been in the Patriots system. He's cleaned up his act.
Has he?
From what I understand, these issues were
overblown.
A little bit.
I think they were greatly overblown, but my guess is they weren't because that's what you saw publicly. I think teams know more, and I think teams found out more than we are privy to.
Okay, but now he's been in the NFL a year. In relation to where he was drafted last year, has Mallett's value gone up?
No.
In the NFL?
What has he done in the NFL?
Nothing. But
he didn't get suspended
he didn't beat out Brian Hoyer.
But the point is, what did he do in the NFL last year to deserve being drafted in the third round? Nothing, right? I mean, that's just where he was scouted at. But
how did his prospects improve?
Been for the off-field issues, he'd have been drafted higher.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, that's my thought, but there's been nothing to prove that those issues are in the past.
Why? Really?
He's not even dressing. How do you know if he's in trouble?
No.
What do you think, the Patriots are going to tell you?
Well, how
do you know what he's been doing?
I think a team that was interested in getting him would have access to police records and all that stuff. And
I'm not talking about police records. I'm talking about showing
records.
Up for a meeting.
Yeah, there's
and being responsible and doing the thing. Those are the things that dogged him at Arkansas.
Okay,
he didn't kill anybody.
In terms of on the record, there was very little with him. Very little.
Right. So do you?
So there'd be very little.
Is he
now?
Smart? Is he right. smart enough to run an NFL offense? That's what dogged him.
Right. And you don't think that there's a way for a team to get that information now about a guy?
Are you seriously saying he's worth a first-round pick? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Or are you just trying
I'm
to play devil's advocate and getting me and Andy to get our blood pressure
I'm
going?
I'm wondering, though, as you said, had it not been for the off-field issues.
Just pure physical tools.
But
right.
the off-field issues have not disappeared is the point.
Right.
He's not a five-year veteran who's been in no trouble for 5 years. He was the third-string quarterback who dressed, to my knowledge, once.
Well.
If, what has he done to show you that any of the questions you had about him last year at this time have disappeared?
I don't.
He did not beat out an undrafted rookie from 2 years earlier.
I don't know what he's done to disprove the off-field questions, but if there was a way to find out that, there isn't a way to find out,
is my point.
Well, I don't know that. So my question is, if you put him up against Tannehill, minus the off-field issues, how does he rate?
First of all, do you think Tannehill is worthy of the eighth pick of the draft?
No.
So why is he getting taken in the eighth pick of the draft?
I don't know. His stocks.
But you don't think he's worth that. So then you're saying that you don't think that Tannehill's worth it, but Ryan Mallett, who the year before had enough questions about him that he was a third round pick, he is worthy of the eighth pick.
But don't you see
I can't believe we're actually giving this email some thought.
Where have you seen Tannehill's stock? I mean, you know, in mock drafts. Where have you seen him taken?
People are saying he's
not going to get by Miami at eight.
Right. That's my
point. Just like Jake Locker and Christian Ponder did last year.
If Miami is willing.
And Ryan Mallett went in the third round.
And we don't know this, but if Miami is willing to take Tannehill and Mallett.
You know that Miami's offensive coordinator is Tannehill's college coach.
Okay, but if there.
He didn't.
If
no chance he knew that.
Mallett didn't have the off-field issues.
would he be the same type of...
If Bobby Petrino was now the offensive coordinator in Miami, maybe.
You know, that's all I think he's but, making the point.
But I don't understand why you keep saying if he didn't have the off-field issues. Yes,
can we get
think,
Ross Idowling for a first-round pick now? He did nothing to prove that he can't. The one issue with him was injuries, and he got hurt. Injured, so there's no new issues.
But as far as his playing ability,
who?
Mallett.
We have no idea about that.
Right, but there's nothing to disprove what people were saying about him before he was drafted.
Correct.
And he still could be
and
one
he
of
went
the
in
most,
the third round.
Right, because of not his playing ability.
Both. His ability to operate and make the proper checkdowns. Everybody knows he could throw it through a barn.
There were
they didn't know if
about,
he could throw it 5 yards to the out.
There were questions about Cam
to the
Newton
back, underneath
I
the checkdown
and
making good decisions. That's the things that were part of off-field.
I think all the emailer is saying is that he agrees that Tannehill's being overvalued here, but
I agree with the emailer on that.
Not as much as the emailer is overvaluing Ryan Mallett.
Not even close.
Well,
it's like you're making a guy who is being overdrafted, and then you're saying, well, because of that, we can just take this guy and make him a three-round higher pick than he is.
I don't think it's so absurd.
You don't think it's absurd to have a third string quarterback who's dressed once in 1 year of football garner you the eighth pick in the overall
well,
pick
Tannehill
of the draft.
Tannehill hasn't done anything and he's in the eighth pick.
Well, neither is Andrew Luck and he's in the first. Right.
Wait a minute, Fred.
But that's
Ryan Mallett in the same situation garnered a third round pick.
Because
and you now want to give him the eighth pick of the draft.
Issues.
This is a good one.
Because of off-field
I don't
issues.
Care why. He was valued as a third rounder. Tannehill might go eighth overall.
Yeah, because
it doesn't matter what they've done. They've done the same. Nothing.
Well, that's the point. That's kind of the point.
And one of them is
but
and one of them
I
is valued as the eighth
right,
overall pick.
But,
and the other one was in the third round.
But a lot of people say Mallett would be more talented than
now, I could understand if you said Tom Brady was a sixth round pick. But what he's done, he would clearly go one overall.
Well, you can't,
yes!
Well,
he has done so.
Right.
Ryan Mallett has done exactly what Ryan Tannehill has done. Nothing.
Right.
And you're saying that he should go from the third round to the eighth overall pick.
But the fact that he dropped was because of off-field issues.
I don't care why he dropped. That's where he was valued.
But that's the point that the guy is making. That's the point.
If you guys both don't think Tannehill should be taken eighth. He doesn't have off-field issues.
I know, but he might be. He might be taking eighth.
But you think it would be a mistake. And now on top of that, you want Miami to say, not only am I not going to take that guy eighth, I want to take a third rounder eighth.
You know, I think the point the guy is making that in this draft.
I don't think that the
I
emailer
hope the
was.
The guy replies that I was being sarcastic.
I was just going to say, I don't really think the emailer was being serious.
Yeah.
To start, that's why I asked about the sarcasm meter that sometimes you guys make fun of me for missing.
Just keep saying, right, you're making that. That's the point. Right.
Right. Exactly. Joel in Merrimack says,
I think Brian Hoyer was embarrassed by those stories. And now we're talking, who's accomplished far more than Ryan Mallett.
Well, okay. All right, never mind. I'm not even going to get back into it.
By the way, I was also glad to hear we were right and there was not a sniff or rumbling of any interest in him.
Yeah.
I mean, there shouldn't be. It's not a shot at him, but he shouldn't have any real NFL value right now. All he's done is been a backup to Tom Brady, and that's great, and he's been in a good offense and learned, but to say you're going to sign him and make him your starter, you'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Mike Lombardi.
It'll be interesting next year when he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
If there's a lot of interest in how quickly, and then, you know, is it Matt Flynn? Is it, you know, a little bit in between? I don't know. Is it in between a draft pick and Matt Flynn? I don't
he'll
know.
He'll go to a place.
Flynn didn't get much.
No, he'll go to a Flynn just got average quarterback money. He didn't get really starter money.
Right.
But he'll go to a place, I think, beyond. They don't have a quarterback at all. You know, Tavares Jackson, despite the fact that I like him, he got ruined by Childress in Minnesota.
Chilly.
He'll never been the same.
Chilly.
But he'll go to a place with, like, David Garrard, like an established starter who they're not sure they want to get rid of. Some team will give Hoyer money and just have him come in, compete. You put him in, and maybe you luck out and kind of make a change at quarterback, but you don't really invest.
So you don't think anybody will say that
he's a starter? No.
He's my starter.
Nope, I don't think.
You'd have to have a hell of a preseason to prove that.
Well no, then you're not saying he's my starter. You're saying he has to earn being my starter.
Yeah, I don't think any
like Matt
team
Flynn is Seattle's starter.
Right, he will not be anointed a starter, even a low-money starter like that. He won't. He'll at best be competing for a job.
I mean, I know your boy Pizzi might be saying, "Oh, well, we're gonna have a competition," but they signed Matt Flynn to start.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Did you read all that stuff about compete, and then they showed up. Manning wanted nothing to do with them, and then they showed up in Denver, like, unannounced.
Go away.
Really, you want to come with us, and can we talk?
Is that the story in SI?
Yeah, I just saw excerpts from it, and that they were just begging upon begging Manning to just at least listen to them, and he wouldn't. He won no part.
Well, who said it? That, like, there's this whole cottage industry that's sprouted up about the whole Peyton Manning story, about how he got to where he is now in terms of this process. You know, all these stories are
Peter
coming
King out. Wrote
yeah. Peter King wrote a big story in Sports Illustrated this past week.
But there's other things coming out, little, you know, things.
Well,
that
he had a bunch of stuff he put on the internet that he couldn't fit into the story. One of them was about all the coaches, his recall of all the people he met and how much he knew about all the individual. I mean, like, not just like the head coach and the offensive coordinator, but like a quarterback's coach and some other offensive assistants, how he knew who they were, their backgrounds, and how much did they, you know, how impressed he was and stuff like that. I mean, it was a little bit of a, ball washing from King to Peyton, no question. But I just thought some of the things were kind of interesting.
Now, has he had to go back yet and fix all the quotes that he misquoted?
That remains to be seen, Andy. Who knows? We'll have to wait.
Peter King MO.
The only thing that Peter King wrote this week I found interesting was when he talked about working at the Cincinnati Inquirer in the early 80s, used to cover Kentucky basketball, and how hard they make it on the media. Evidently, somehow, it's all reverence or you're dead to them. You know, a little like this place.
Well, who was the coach? Is that old coach?
Joe B. Hall, I think, would have been the coach at that time.
Not the old one who was like a...
Adolph Rupp?
Yeah.
No, he was just flat-out racist.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Joe B. Hall.
He earned the name Adolph by the sounds of it.
No question. But it was interesting.
No, not really kidding. I think he was a flat-out, like, racist bad person.
He was telling stories about, like, just being intimidated out of doing stories. Like, they would come up, like, assistant coaches would come and say, why are you talking to him? Why are you talking to her? And stuff. It's just really weird stuff.
Joel and Merrimack.
Peter King, covering the University of Kentucky.
Hey, guys, good show as usual. I've been looking at the draft prospects for the Patriots, and from what I've seen, Michael Brockers is worth trading up for. My question is, has Belichick ever traded up to get a player, and do you guys think he might do this for Brockers or wait and hope he drops down to the second half of the first round? It'd be a shame to have an opportunity to get a talent like Brockers and then pass on it. Keep up the great show.
Blech.
You don't like him?
No.
I'm not a huge fan of any of those defensive
tackles. Who I think is going to be bust.
Tackles. He traded up for Benjamin Watson. Daniel Graham, and they traded up for Ty Warren, although just one spot.
Okay.
But they traded up like 9 or 10 spots for Graham, if I recall.
Oh, yeah, to 21 30.
Maybe 11 spots, 32 to 21.
I think so.
Maybe.
John says, I think Tannehill will go in the second like Clawson. If you can get a guy that can throw, you might as well get one that can run. With rumors of Reggie Bush on the market, I see them taking Richardson. If he is there, then they would have a 1-2 punch with Wilson.
I'm not sure there's rumors of Reggie Bush. That was that fake Adam Schefter account that tweeted that.
Oh, is that right?
We fell hook, line, and sinker for like 5 minutes.
SportsCenter fell hook, line, and sinker and retweeted it.
Morons.
Trent Richardson
is great. All these things, you know, I would love. I don't think he's a need for the Patriots. I don't think he makes any sense to trade up to get him. But he's great. He's going to be a stud, an absolute stud in this league.
I know Paul has fallen in love with Whitney Merciless, and Arky wants to know if the Patriots should trade up to get him.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I haven't fallen that much in love
with
him.
I don't think he's trade up worthy.
I don't like the guys enough to trade up to get them. And I know maybe people will say, well, you've been complaining about them not being aggressive. I just don't think there are guys that I would identify as being worthy of trading up for. I think you can get a good player at 27 and 31 just by sitting tight.
Many people are very upset with John and Lynn's limericks, but he has another one.
When did limericks become part of this show? I missed it.
I don't know, but he says that Hoyer is nobody's vassal, so it's nice that he got no hassle. The piece went pretty fair. At least Welker wasn't there to call him a bench warmer like Castle.
Okay. It wasn't bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah. What's a vassal?
Like a fair, it's like a woman, right? A young woman?
I don't know, Matt, Brooklyn, why don't you make fun of these two?
Well, you don't know what it is.
No, but I'm the idiot on the show. I'm the monkey who doesn't know anything.
Where's Eric when you need him? Eric's on vacation, by the way.
I've never needed Eric once, so I can't answer that question.
In case anyone
is
wondering. He's just on the internet.
He's just sitting here playing on the internet.
Like making noises.
Yeah.
What do you think of
this? What are you doing back there? You're moving up and down.
What do you think of the Saints appealing their punishments?
They're just buying time.
For what?
Just to get Parcells on board a little, give him
a little
bit more time to get on board.
Thanks, Bill.
You know, because right now Sean Payton's still, you know, there. So the longer he can stay there, the better, I guess.
Yeah, okay. But it's not his decision, you guys said.
What do you mean it's not his
decision? Whose decision?
Benson's.
Okay.
To hire Parcells.
Well, it's still good
what
to have
Payton for.
It's still
well,
good.
I just figured I already argued with him once.
It's still good to have your team
one.
In place as long as you can until Parcells is up and running.
What if Parcells doesn't take
what
the job?
What is in place with Payton as opposed to without?
I think he should do it.
What needs to be in place right now with Payton as opposed to without? Like,
if you go by the letter of the suspension, the minute Payton is out of there, he can't have contact with Bill Parcells.
Right.
So that's kind of a detriment when you're trying to get him rolling in his job.
Well, that's why he's hiring the guy he based his whole organization on. Right?
I know. But
I have a question for you.
To make it a little easier, right?
So Peyton's not the coach. Does that mean they can immediately have like an OTA? Because the teams with the new coaches are having OTAs starting yesterday.
I'm down on Chiano based on that. LeGarrette Blount couldn't be there because he had
That's okay.
And he said, you know, I just thought it was great that he let me know he had something. That's all it takes is the guy told you I'm not coming, and you think that is quote-unquote great?
So what do you
think? Chiano, no chance.
So Peyton's out, so as soon as they...
I wouldn't think so.
No?
They didn't make a change at head coach. He is sort of technically still their head coach, just...
You're supposed to feel the pain, not get little benefits out of it.
Right. So I wouldn't think that should be legal. Although that's not how it works with players. Don't they give you the waiver for the guy? What the hell's that?
This is my phone.
It's the Google.
Don't they give you the waiver for the guy? The guy is, he doesn't take up a roster spot.
If he's suspended?
Wasn't Kevin Falk, you know, wasn't part of the, so that's not hurting the team. That's not a detriment to the team. You don't lose a roster spot. Right?
When's the player stuff coming down?
I don't know.
That's going to be ugly.
I think later this week is what I heard.
That's going to get ugly.
Later this week. That could be just money.
PA. Oh, yeah. If there's any suspensions, I think that could get ugly.
Yeah.
Did you see, like, all the people that were, writing about, they were ripping Payton for appealing, and the Saints in general for appealing. What's he going to say to Goodell that he didn't say in the last couple of weeks? Well, I have no idea.
Truth. He hasn't said that yet.
Couldn't you come up with all kinds of hypotheticals that could change opinion that maybe he hasn't said yet?
Well, even Goodell says if there's new stuff that we haven't seen, we'll consider it.
Yeah, but like what?
I don't know. And neither does he. That's why he's keeping an open mind.
How about explicit knowledge of somebody else's program?
I'll bring down,
That was probably in Peyton's best interest not to say until now. He's desperate.
Yeah, you're going to screw me? Here we go. I'm going to step out and tell about everything I
just
know.
Thought it was funny. Like, you know, everybody, it's like National NFL Writer 101. We have to rally to Goodell's defense. What's he going to, you know, this isn't going to change anything. What's he going to get accomplished? Well, and everybody has the same opinion. That's what I hate.
It depends what you believe he was cracked down on. If you're like Fred and the lying is the biggest issue,
right.
He can't fix the lying.
That's right.
He can't do anything to change
that. Oh, no, but he could do something that could make Goodell uncomfortable.
No, I know, but then Goodell goes to that team and says, do you have a bounty? And they say
yes. Right.
Because Fred's belief is the lying was the biggest issue. It's the biggest bone of contention.
Unfortunately, I think Fred's right, but that would be really a sad commentary on Goodell.
Well, I think,
If the bigger thing is how you treat him as opposed to what you do, that's sad. That's really sad.
You can't lie, Paul.
I understand you can't lie, but if that's the reason why they got hit so hard, that's a sad commentary on Goodell.
Even in a court of law, if you plead guilty, it's better than if you lie and get found guilty.
But I don't believe it's better than if you murder somebody and say, no, I didn't do it, and then they convict you. You don't get any
extra. Same punishment.
You murdered him. You
murder
get the murder.
Is murder.
Same punishment.
Well, I'm just saying, you don't get
the judge doesn't sit there and say, how dare you lie to me in my court.
You get whatever the murder sentence is.
Yeah.
Right?
You get in trouble for lying when you're sort of otherwise innocent, and then you end up in perjuring
yourself.
Yeah,
but Paul, if there's no benefit to being honest, right, in these cases,
Fred,
then
there is a benefit,
but there
it so black
be
and
an
white.
Extra punishment. There was a benefit. This would not have gotten as big if he had just said yes in the beginning.
Right, and I'm not suggesting that it's right to lie.
In 2010, when they first
like
went to them and said, hey, we're hearing about this stuff, are you guys doing
I would hope that he would have gotten suspended. anyway.
Maybe a little.
I would hope.
I would hope it'd be like a slap in the wrist.
Well, do you care about player safety or you not?
That's my point.
Or you don't?
Because here's the bottom line.
I don't believe he does, but
I don't believe separate. He does either. And let me ask you, just a hypothetical. We don't have. You know,
you don't think he cares about player safety?
No, I don't think.
I think he monetarily does.
I think he cares
does.
About lawsuits.
For whatever reason.
Lawsuits and liability down the road. And we don't have the moral arbiter of justice.
He's a lawyer.
Here.
Once a lawyer, always a lawyer.
Yeah.
But without.
A few people listening.
Without Eric here
he was a PR guy.
He was, but he was also has a law degree.
Oh, does he?
I believe.
Without Eric here to chastise us, you know, for our Neanderthal ways, do you think the NFL today is safer than it was before the bounty system was eliminated?
Well, they just eliminated it.
Yeah. So do you think that we can look forward to a safer NFL than you did last year? I don't.
Yeah. Well, it's just better not to have these things, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Another fight's coming. Another fight.
You know?
Where they mix words and they...
No, but it's just like, it goes to my whole thing. You know, yes, it's bad to... Violence against women is bad. Yes, you're right. Yes, it's better to not have a bounty system than to have one. I agree. But my point is, if he really cared about player safety, I don't think the NFL is safer today than it was yesterday. I think the goal of every defensive team is to go out there and knock the quarterback out of the game.
But what is
whether
that,
someone's getting $1,000 for it or not, that's the goal on the defensive side.
Well, that might be true, but what's the point there?
Just the moral outrage is my point.
Yeah,
and if it really is because of lying to Goodell that he got disciplined so badly, that's sad.
I think there's a good reason to be, upset that not that the guys are out to hurt each other, but to be paid to actually promote it and be paid. I think that's going over the line.
And he should have been suspended for it. I agree with the suspensions.
Yeah. You know,
not for lying.
Well, I think that adds to it. Absolutely. When you have two or three seasons and you gave them a warning and they still kept doing it and they kept denying it. I mean, you gotta
come game
down
on.
Hard on that.
Had a game on. Fine. I just think that's the reason why they got suspended at all. I don't think they would have been suspended if they didn't lie. This is part of my moral outrage nonsense. I think this is a bunch of crap.
The moral outrage over the
I totally agree with everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I totally agree with Andy. This is a liability issue. He's looking down the road. It's his wallet that he's
There's
protecting.
No doubt that's part of it too. You know, with or without the lying, that's part of it. You know,
Peter King also in his Monday Morning Quarterback had an interesting anecdote. He was at the NFL meetings and he found it interesting when he went back to his room. You know, the in-house TV, they have the NFL Network stuff running. Well, they had a top 10 going. One of their top, I think it was top 10 villains or something like that. Not important. One of the guys was an old linebacker that I never heard of who was known for his big hits. He used to just label guys in the open field with clean, hard hits, knock guys out all the time. And he was interviewed as part of this, and he said he talked to so-and-so on another team and said they had a bounty on him to take him out of the game, which I thought was really interesting considering the climate that we're in, that they would be running this. But, yeah, you know, the guy just matter-of-factly, he was proud of it. He was proud of the fact that they had a bounty on him. He told the story about how he told the guy, "Hey, look, you hit me, and I'll fake it, and we'll split the bounty."
The good old days.
Let's see. Brian in California says, "I've been listening since the game that shall not be named. Thanks for hours of lowbrow humor and several minutes of football analysis every week." What would you do if Merciless, Janoris, Jenkins, and Barron are all on the board at 27?
Barron.
Do you take the guy you believe in the most, or do you take the guy most likely to be taken between 27 and your next pick at 31? In that way, you maximize your chance of getting two out of your group of three. If you take the guy you believe in the most, who is it? Edge rusher would seem to be the greatest need, but those other two guys filled needs too and are pretty talented with better track records.
Barron. I would take Barron and hope that Jenkins was there at 31.
Okay. And
I would take the guy I believed in the most to answer the question.
There's not many questions on Barron.
And I think Barron would probably be that guy. You know, you throw in all the things that
He's got a high floor, Paul.
But the Nick Saban thing, too, though, I think everything you know, they play a style of defense similar to yours. You have Saban to fall back on. You're probably going to have the largest base of knowledge on that player, right, who also fills an enormous need.
Fred, Paul and I have discussed this. I know you do some draft research, and
he's been really, really up on the draft research this year.
He wants to move Irvin to safety.
Yeah.
have you noticed the new terminology of high floor, high ceiling, low ceiling used to describe prospects? And the theory is basically, if the guy has, if he's polished, you don't know how if he's going to be great, but he's going to be a starter. He has a high downside versus a guy boom or bust has a high upside, but a low downside.
Right.
It's risk. This new terminology. I like it. Okay. He's got a high floor, very high floor. Mark Barron, high floor.
Who does Eric think is the best inside penetrator in the draft?
Not Eric. He's never penetrated, not once.
Oh, you were serious about that?
And he says, I'm a subscriber and love the iPad app. Thanks for putting that together.
And you even found it, which is more than some of our listeners can
Patriots
do.
Football daily. Daily. And Strippers wants to know what the draft schedule will be. I assume he means the radio schedule.
We'll be on.
Probably about the same as last year, right?
Yeah.
Go back and look at
my guess is you'll change it six times between now and then because you always do.
Yeah, the only thing that I saw a slight difference is round two on Friday, two and three, but round two starts an hour later. I think it starts at 7 instead of 6.
Oh, good. So we'll be here later.
Well, we'll have to.
And we're just taking the last day off, right? Because
we don't have any picks. What's that now?
We will be on for the first round picks.
We'll be on the entire first round. Is that what we do?
I think we do the whole first
What we'll do is if I we don't we have any picks for the last day, we'll cover the Jets.
We'll be on 8 o'clock on Thursday. We'll stay on for the whole first round.
Probably about 4 action-packed hours.
Yeah, I'm going to go with more like 3 based on the way that we usually run out of gas.
I just know Matt says that the – is this from today, the Jets thing? The Jets made a stupid signing. If you want to make fun of them, they signed a rugby player from Australia.
Oh.
To play tight end.
I can't wait to see that in Hard Knocks. Love Eden, being right.
Eden Smith.
Right.
I wanted him to sign. Remember that guy I wanted? Was it Bonu or Sonu or Bonu?
I got
the black
just
guy with
Matt's
the funky
terminology.
Hair. He was a big dude. The Cowboys were interested.
Oh.
He was a big dude. And then he got hurt. Spine cancer, I think, or something.
Oh, jeez. Hurt?
Vishon from New York writes in, he said, Brock Lesnar has been making headlines this morning, which brings up a random question. Did you guys get to see him when he played with the Vikings? I know he wasn't in the league for long, but out of curiosity, did you see any tape on him?
No. Was he ever in the league? Was he on the practice squad?
He went to training camp.
Camp, and then
he
might have been on the practice, not even the practice squad. So he was never in the league.
Yeah, I never saw him.
Why is he in the headlines?
He came back.
Last night at WrestleMania? He's back in WWE?
Last night on Monday Night Raw, because John Cena got beat by The Rock, and then 24 hours later got the finishing move of Brock Lesnar at the end of Raw.
So The Rock beat Cena?
He did.
Yeah, that was...
That's not fair. It's fixed.
That was surprising because everybody thought, because Rock was only coming back, it was in Miami, it was hometown, so they figured that doesn't make any sense to have him win, so maybe they just wanted to do a little button hook there.
Yeah, that's not fair. Cena's way better.
Josh says that Paul is being ridiculous today. Lying to the CEO of your company during an internal investigation should not get you extra punishment when you have clearly violated company rules.
Yes, it should. It should get you extra. I think it got them all the punishment. That's where I disagree. I don't think they would have gotten suspended if they didn't lie.
Okay.
And I think that's wrong.
And he says that in criminal justice, you would also get charged with obstruction
yes.
in addition to
Correct.
What you did wrong.
Correct. I am on board with you more than you think, believe me.
I never know who's on board with who on this show.
I feel...
These two go at
right.
it. Right. You're making my point.
Point. I feel like they got suspended because they lied, not because of what they did.
I think
I don't think that's right.
I mean, in 2010, if they had just said yes, I think they would have got a slap in the wrist.
You're probably right.
And that's the only part I disagree with. If you're going to tell me they would have gotten an 8-game suspension had they just been up front and they made it 10 because they lied or 12 because they lied... No problem. I think they got suspended. It's a hypothetical. I can't prove it. But I think they got suspended for a year because they lied.
Ask Rush.
And oh, by the way, they had a bounty program, too.
Sam from Glendora, California. So I told my fiance that we bought lunch for the PFW crew. And she was like, what?
You probably shouldn't have included that.
She's
until
now
after,
my
until
ex-fiance.
Until after the wedding.
You trust them with your card? And the answer is, yes, I do. Anyway, I hope you enjoy lunch. It's really from my fiance, so all thanks to her.
Well, I... Love your fiance.
When I move back
east. It's not the first gift she's given me.
When I move back east, there'll be more lunches coming your way. Let's hope I get that job at Rutgers.
Ooh,
maybe we can have someone put in a good word for you.
Are you the head coach?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Who did they hire? I can't even remember.
I don't know.
they're really off the radar now.
Now back to football. What are we doing about that whole Amobi Okoye or something?
Yeah.
Is there something no one is talking about yet? Is Mallett Brady's successor? To be honest, Brady will be done in maximum 5 years, and what is our contingency plan? And lastly, Ridley Vereen Woodhead, is that it? I need more, I think.
You'll get more, I know.
I think I'm still going to stick with the successor to Brady is not on the roster.
That's certainly a possibility. 5 years is a lifetime in the NFL. I mean, I know you're like, whoa, we only got 5 years left of Brady. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure we have that, but he did say maximum.
But say 5 years.
I think this contract is it.
I mean, for some teams, that's two GMs, two head coaches, two, like.
Look at the AFC
East. It's a lifetime.
What if someone had the great stats out for all the quarterbacks, something like 19 quarterbacks from Miami?
Since
Brady started his first game for the Patriots?
Enjoy every minute of Tom Brady while you still have him. Worry about tomorrow.
The Patriots have had three starting quarterbacks in the time that Miami, I think, has had 19.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
Lifetime. Just enjoy it.
All right.
More than the show you did.
As far as the show, that's it. We'll be back Thursday with another edition of PFW in Progress. Maybe we'll have a player. Who knows?
Maybe we'll have lunch.
You never know.
If these two monkeys can get their heads together and get it done.
Don't let Matt in. Matt's getting things done.
He is getting things done. One monkey.
All right.
The going bald monkey who went to Hawaii and bitched about it.
Thanks for listening. Thanks, Matt, Kevin. Thanks, Brian Hoyer, for stopping in. We'll be back Thursday. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.